Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Into midnight, Monday through Friday, with the exception of Thursday, when we start Tom Hartman's show at 11 in the evening and run it through 2 in the morning. Thank you so much for listening to KRXA 540. And on the internet at KRXA540.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. First full day on the job for the new president started with a prayer service at the National Cathedral. George Washington started that tradition. Barack Obama put his nose right to the grindstone.
During this period of economic emergency, families are tightening their belts, and so should Washington. And that's why I am instituting a pay freeze on the salaries of my senior White House staff.
Mr. Obama also signed executive orders ordering new ethics rules and limits on lobbying.
President Obama has signed an order limiting when former lobbyists in his administration can work on issues involving businesses and industries they previously represented. They would also be banned from lobbying the administration after leaving the government.
These steps are aimed at establishing firm rules of the road for my administration.
Bush administration critics had complained about former lobbyists and industry officials in government posts involving areas where they previously worked. Mr. Obama said his actions are needed to restore faith in government. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
CBS News has also learned the expected order to close the terror detention facility at Guantanamo Bay will come tomorrow. The goal is to close it within a year. Mr. Obama also met with his military team to discuss his plan to get the bulk of U.S. combat troops out of Iraq in 16 months. The Obama cabinet is filling up.
President Obama has signed an order limiting when former lobbyists in his administration can work on issues.
Here's Bob Fuss.
There was never any doubt Hillary Clinton would receive overwhelming support from fellow senators to be confirmed as Secretary of State, but it was delayed. Half a dozen cabinet members, including Secretaries of Education, Energy, and Homeland Security, were okayed by voice vote just hours after yesterday's inaugural. But Texas Republican John Cornyn delayed Clinton's confirmation, insisting on a debate, even after many other Republicans, including John McCain, complained.
CBS's Bob Fuss, of course, on the Treasury Secretary nominee Tim Geithner. A vote on confirmation in the Senate Finance Committee is expected tomorrow. Eric Holder for Attorney General comes next week. The goal for peace in Gaza is to keep Hamas from rearming. To that end, CBS News correspondent David Martin says an Iranian ship loaded with weapons has been intercepted.
This has been going on for a couple of days now. A U.S. Navy ship in the Red Sea has stopped and boarded without any resistance an Iranian chartered vessel that is believed to be carrying arms for Hamas in the Gaza Strip.
The Navy's asking Egypt to provide a port so they can do a thorough inspection. There is bird material in the right engine of the U.S. Airways Airbus. That's the latest from the investigators, and divers earlier today found the left engine, which had sheared off. Window into American culture, 09. Apple sold nearly 23 million iPods during the holidays. That beat market expectations. Mac sales up 9%. Wall Street today, the Dow gained 279 points. This is CBS News.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
All right, construction crews. Everybody ready?
Ready in Chicago.
Montgomery.
Honolulu. Oh, who's in Honolulu?
It's Tim from Boston. I just got transferred to Hawaii. Wicked good weather they got here.
Buy one Motorola i576 phone for $69.99. Get up to 4 free with Sprint, the fastest national push-to-talk network. Call 1-800-NEXTEL-9. Only on the Now Network. Fastest based on initial call setup time. Offers for eligible business accounts only. See Sprint stores for availability. Ends 4/18/09. Subject to 2-year agreement. Up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit per line. Restrictions apply.
The air we breathe is cleaner, a lot cleaner, and the experts are saying we are living longer and better because of it. CBS's Barry Bagnato.
Clean air improvements since 1980 have added an average of 5 months to the lives of people in 51 U.S. cities. Brigham Young University researcher Arden Pope says the biggest lifespan gains occurred in cities with the largest pollution reductions, but...
Just moderately polluted cities, if they continue to reduce their air pollution, they can expect to have improvements in public health and longer lives.
These findings in the New England Journal of Medicine. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
New research in England and Australia suggests mothers should not drink much, if at all, during pregnancy, and sure enough, should avoid any binge drinking. Researchers say women who get seriously smashed in the first 3 months have probably already done damage to the baby, damage that is not reversible by cleaning up the act. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
So the other morning, I get an email from Moe's, my absolute favorite deli, whose pastrami I would actually kill for, which is probably why I gave him my email in the first place. Anyway, I'm like, wow, Moe's sending emails with coupons and photos? I want to bite my computer screen. Then it hits me. Eggs and pastrami hash for breakfast.
Email marketing from ConstantContact.com helps showcase your business, just like Moe. There's even free phone support with real live people. Get a free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo CD-ROM.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free demo with a free language lesson, so what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now. 1-800-349-5311. 1-800-349-5311. 1-800-349-5311.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. It is day one, the official first day of the Obama administration. Time to go to work. You've partied out. You're thawed out. No, we got a lot of work to do to fix this country, to repair the damage of the wrecking crew, and to fix our economy, too.
I don't like music.
Got to close Gitmo. Got to get our troops out of Iraq. Got to stop the idea of putting more troops into Afghanistan. It's a full agenda, and that's just the start.
Somebody I never met, but in a way I know.
On our program today, we'll kick it off with a look at the media's coverage of the Obama inauguration. Eric Bollard from Media Matters will join me in a moment. Also later this hour, we're going to take a look at the recycling market. As you may know, the worldwide economic downturn and the reduction in manufacturing has caused a sharp reduction in the demand for recyclable materials. So you take your newspapers to the curb, what happens to them after that? If they're not being sold to China, are they just going into a landfill? We're going to talk to Robert Reed at NorCal Waste in San Francisco and get the latest on the garbage and recycling market. Next hour, Cliff Schechter in his weekly visit will get his reaction to the Obama installation from his cozy seat in Columbus, Ohio. And James K. Galbraith, Jamie Galbraith, will join us. He's a columnist for Mother Jones Magazine and a professor at UT Austin. And he's written an article called Stimulus is for Suckers. We'll talk about his ideas for reviving the American economy. And along the way, you're invited to join me at any moment to inject a comment. We pay for the call. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And my personal email, humblehost@peterbcollins.com. Or himself at peterbcollins.com. Or fullofit@peterbcollins.com. They all work. Media Man of the Hour, Eric Bollert, at MediaMatters.org, the website that monitors the corporate media, and when they get it wrong or go way off course, Media Matters politely points it out with links and documentation to the actual facts. Hey, Eric, how you doing?
Hey, Peter, good, and you?
I'm not too bad. It's good to talk to you twice in 1 week. And
yeah.
In between, well, the inauguration went off pretty successfully. I thought it was amazing. I was delighted. There were zero arrests in Washington, even with a couple of million people in attendance. And from what I saw, we were anchoring coverage all day long, so I had TV with the sound off. It seems like the coverage was fairly good. But I have to say that I didn't spend any time watching the boys and girls over at the Fox News channel, and I understand they've gone to town with the issue about how Chief Justice Roberts flubbed the order of the words in the oath of office and whether now Obama is legitimately the President of the United States. And first of all, is there any indication that they snuck into the back of the Capitol there and just quickly did it over properly? Because, you know, the oath of office does not have to be administered in public. And as long as there are at least one or two witnesses to the actual taking of the oath, that is sufficient, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've seen some more reporting today where some scholars say, well, you know, he may as well do it again. It couldn't hurt. You know, let's just get it right. Which is different from saying that, you know, he might not be president. And as we pointed out, there are no really serious scholars that we've seen suggesting that he's not president because of this word mix-up. So he may, your point is a good one, you know, they could easily, you know, they don't have to reconvene a million people, they can do it anywhere.
Yeah, they could do it in a bathroom with some toe-tapping going on, you know.
But there's no constitutional question about whether he's president or not. I think the closest any, you know, serious people have suggested, well, let's just do it again, as you say, you know, just get John Roberts back and have him put his hand on the Bible, the Oval Office, and we'll be done. But some of the early chatter, particularly from the, you know, the right wings online and Fox News, was actually raising a genuine question about, you know, whether Barack Obama was in fact president. And I mean, just because John Roberts can't, you know, remember a 35-word oath, doesn't really seem fair to take it out on Barack Obama.
If anybody in the country should know what's in the damn Constitution, wouldn't we expect that the Chief Justice for life would have figured it out?
Yeah, but, you know, that's just one of those, you know, awkward things that happen.
Yeah.
And when there's such a magnifying glass and so many people watching and things like that. But, no, Fox was the only one of the, quote-unquote, mainstream press that really gave that question any kind of legitimacy, and they came back to it fairly often.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, we replayed this a few times yesterday, and then I watched it on TV last night. The first flub came when the president, Mr. Obama, jumped the gun on the first phrase. And maybe it was hearing the word Hussein. he said, whoa, he said the Hussein thing. I better jump right in there.
Well, I think they were both a little nervous, and they both sort of stepped on each other's line.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think once that first little flub occurred, it did throw the Chief Justice off. And, you know, they should have just done what we do in radio. Take two. It's not that complicated.
Right, but, you know, under that extraordinary circumstance, no one ever really goes back. Most people just sort of fumble through it as they did.
Yeah. Now, this is interesting. Just while we're speaking, an email came in, and Paul Leto is a man I have a great deal of respect for. He is an attorney and a constitutional scholar. He's gotten involved in some of the challenged elections up in Washington State and also in San Diego, the congressional race a couple of years ago. So he wrote a piece. He said, you know, part of the pre-electoral college vote movement to attack Obama's presidency under the natural born clause, this is whether he was born in the United States or not, and whether the Hawaii birth certificate is valid, was a movement to contact the Chief Justice and urge him not to administer the oath at all, or to boycott the inaugural or some other similar option.
Mm-hmm.
Roberts was urged to boycott it as an act of conscience in order to uphold the Constitution against an unconstitutional Obama presidency. Now, I'm not prepared to leap from there.
No, no.
To say that the guy in the black robe, and I don't even think he had Rehnquist opera stripes on. He's
right.
He's a little more modest than that. But I'm just not prepared to say that this screw-up was anything.
No, but it does raise a larger point, because if you go back to 8 years ago, even further, 16 years ago when Bill Clinton came into office, the one of the running themes and one of the reasons that this sort of Clinton hatred started, one of the reasons, was this idea that the Democrat wasn't really the president, because you remember Ross Perot was running,
yeah.
And I think Clinton got 43% of the vote at the time.
That's right.
And there was a very concerted effort, and one of the main talking points, or the feeling among the right wing, was that Clinton was a fluke. He wasn't really the president. There was a question of legitimacy surrounding Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen remnants of that this time. It's less widespread, and it seems to be contained mostly to the right wing blogosphere. This notion that, you know, Obama was born in Kenya, his birth certificate's a phony, and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it does harken back when Democrats win the White House. There seems to be a knee jerk response that they're not legitimate. Now, 8 years ago, I think Democrats who had raised questions about whether Bush won and was legitimate, I mean, come on, that went to the Supreme Court. Those were actual constitutional questions. You know, with Obama and Clinton, it's more of a convenience thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be, the far right sort of grasping at straws.
So is this an indication that there will be no media honeymoon? It just started right with the oath of office?
Well, there's certainly not going to be any Republican honeymoon. Rush Limbaugh last week was saying, I hope Obama fails. He was only saying publicly, I think, what most conservative commentators and pundits and the conservative media were actually thinking. Limbaugh just happened to say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the press, I certainly don't think there's going to be a honeymoon. I've argued that honeymoon really ended when the Blagojevich story broke well over a month ago, and the Beltway press really went into overdrive trying to absurdly and at times I thought hysterically trying to make a connection between Obama and his administration and the Blagojevich scandal, when the prosecutors were quite plain that there was none.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was the indication that the press was going to do what it did to the last Democrat that was in the White House, which was spend a lot of time up drama and trying to sort of manufacture chaos.
Mm-hmm. Now, Eric, I got a question for you. Do you actively monitor Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow as well? Because I just have one little quibble with Rachel recently. She went really deep, and, you know, given her own circumstances, one might understand it, but on the Rick Warren story,
mm-hmm.
and on some of the other issues related to alleged or perceived insults to gays and lesbians by the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious if you are, you know, actively monitoring that as well. I'm not saying that there's any equivalency.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, you know, to my taste, I felt she went a little too far.
Actually, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically what we do is, you know, we monitor conservative misinformation, and so that pretty much dictates where we're going to watch, you know, where it's going to come from.
Yeah.
Obviously, it comes from the far right and O'Reilly and Limbaugh and Fox News, and then it seeps into the mainstream and into the blogs and things like that. So, you know, yes, we watch everything. We certainly have tons of MSNBC items up all the time, hundreds, thousands, maybe over the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when it's misinformation, sort of conservative misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that answers your question specifically, but
it gives me an idea of what your focus is.
You know, people always ask, you know, critics always ask, well, you know, how come you're not monitoring Air America? You know, when Air America starts, you know, mousing conservative misinformation, we'll certainly put them on the list.
All right. We'll take a break and return. We're talking with Eric Bollard from Media Matters. Visit their website, mediamatters.org. And if you have a question or comment, you can call me now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. We got word in the last few minutes that Senator Clinton has been confirmed as Secretary of State. Can you say Senator Caroline Kennedy? That's next.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Want to meet a health care provider that will give you the time to talk about your health issues and actually listen to you? Are you looking for an alternative to the pill-popping culture created by the megaceutical companies? Do you have chronic pain, headaches, depression, allergies, or any other unresolved health concerns? Give Optimal Health a try. Hi, I'm Glenn Sadowski, licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey at 655-3208. I'll be at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore in downtown Carmel on the second and fourth Sundays of each month. Reserve your space for an absolutely free 20-minute health evaluation, a wonderful opportunity to make an informed decision on your well-being. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture at 655-3208 today. Times are limited. Optimal Health, where you receive good medicine with great results. Our number again is 655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
And protect your investments. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Hey,
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour, talking with Eric Bullard from Media Matters of America, their website available to you all the time, mediamatters.org. Lots of great information there. And, Eric, are you set up with, like, multiple screens so you can watch more than one channel at the same time?
I'm not, but we have the whole research department monitoring everything possible.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, then, how did you consume the inauguration, and how did you find the coverage? I really didn't get to watch much of it because I was working.
I mostly watched it on TV in my office, and, you know, I thought it was, it's funny, conservatives were sort of, I think they all should have just gone bowling yesterday or something because they were just, I was afraid someone was going to bust a gut or a vein or something. I don't know what they expected from inauguration coverage because I watched it. I wrote about it at Salon 4 years ago when George Bush was inaugurated, and I expressed a mild, you know, annoyance at some things they didn't talk about. But this idea that you're going to watch inauguration coverage and look, the media loves pomp and circumstances and tradition and ceremony. And I think conservatives were expecting, I don't know what they're expecting, but they were literally posting, like, every time, you know, online, every time someone said something about how large the crowd was or how there was a sense of optimism, you know, they immediately ran to their computer and to document, you know, liberal bias. But, you know, I thought, you know, it's wall-to-wall, it's always wall-to-wall. And, you know, I think there was a little more, there was something in the air. I mean, look, no one had ever seen a crowd like that before. I mean,
yeah.
George Bush was inaugurated. He certainly didn't look out and see people for 2 miles stretching to the you know, the Washington Monument. So I think that added to it. I think it just added to the conservative frustration and annoyance.
And did any of the networks correct the myth that you busted about the excessive cost of this compared to other inaugurations?
No, I haven't seen anything, but that myth just is absolutely rampant at this point, especially in local media, small town, local TV, on bulletin boards. As Media Matters pointed out, if you add the security cost for the Bush 205 inauguration, his cost $157 million. But I'm sure everyone has now read the countless references to how Obama's was going to cost basically the same thing. But A, in those articles and reports, they either claim it was 4 times more expensive than Bush's, which is inaccurate, or they just leave out any reference to the Bush cost whatsoever. So news consumers are left with the obvious impression that, you know, Obama's coming in during these difficult times and just absolutely obliterating, you know, the spending cost for the inauguration, which is 100% false.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, they do get desperate at times to come up with some sort of an
ad,
some sort of a talking point.
It wasn't really, it didn't resemble reporting because no one had any, no one will know how much the security cost until like April or May.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a lot of sort of guesstimates. It was more like a game of telephone because you would read one story and they'd say, well, some people say, or estimates are, or reported by Associated Press, and then you go read the Associated Press story and there's nothing to back it up. So mm-hmm. it was all this sort of rather amorphous discussion, and all of it was basically used to paint Obama and Democrats as, you know, obviously wildly out of touch with Americans.
Yeah.
So it was a very sort of cancerous talking point that spread rapidly.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And what else did you observe that is noteworthy in the coverage or the reaction to it?
Well, I think some of the coverage, you know, I read an interesting critique online where they were talking about the MSNBC with Chris Matthews. And during the day, it seemed more like they were hosting a halftime to a basketball game.
Mm.
Just sort of very sort of, you know, more entertainment than news. And sometimes I think, you know, the cable shows, they really do see it as entertainment. I think the networks do the solemn stuff very well. They love, you know, have the anchors come on during the day and Brian Williams. And frankly, I think they're pretty good with that stuff. Some of the cable talk, it's a little sort of gossipy and sort of, and it does seem sort of more like a sporting event
mm-hmm.
Than sort of a political event. But other than that, it seemed fine. Hey, I would not want to fill up 7 hours or however many hours they had to fill up with talk Yeah, not an easy thing to do.
We did 8.5 yesterday, I was running out of juice by the end of it, I'll tell you.
Not an easy thing to do. So all in all, minus this nonsense about the cost, I thought they did a fine job.
Yeah. Well, and Olbermann doesn't help himself sometimes because of his sports background. A lot of times he does affect that air of this is a contest and I am your sportscaster. Eric, thank you very much. Always good to talk with you. Eric Bollert from MediaMatters.org.
Talk to you soon.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. If the stock market were a person, it would not be a person you would like very much. A miserable, nervous ninny, cold, petty, grasping, cynical, and right now preoccupied with its own misery. While there was pride, joy, and hope in the streets of Washington on Inauguration Day, Wall Street was having another nervous breakdown, the Dow dropping 332 points.
We were hoping for an Obama rally, but that is not what happened. It seems as though earnings news and persistent worries about the banking industry really trumped President Obama.
More from CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus after this. Did you know the most common cause of blindness in people aged 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, or AMD? It begins with symptoms that include wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So, if you aren't seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is the key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
Turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch!
Like morning exercise and taking Silver.
Centrum Silver multivitamins are age-adjusted. They help protect your health as you age with key antioxidants and other nutrients that help protect the health of your heart, eyes, and bones.
Things have sure changed around here.
Age-adjusted Centrum Silver. Take along with a healthy diet and exercise. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
President Obama said in his inaugural address that the question is not whether the stock market is a force for good or ill.
Its power to generate wealth and expand freedom is unmatched. But this crisis has reminded us that without a watchful eye, the market can spin out of control. The nation cannot prosper long when it favors only the prosperous.
While millions of Americans, and for that matter, people around the world, had their eyes glued to their TV screens watching history unfold Tuesday, the folks on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange had little time for that. Again, Alexis Christophorus.
Certainly on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, traders paused and looked at their television screens to see history in the making, but then it was right back to reality. It was back to the persistent worries and the same old problems.
Oh, what passes for reality there?
We thought we'd get sort of an Obama confidence boost on Wall Street, but it seems as though Wall Street has already discounted that. They knew that Obama was going to be our next president. The pomp and circumstance Wall Street didn't seem to care much about. They want to know what this new president is going to do in his first 100 days.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Sun Street Centers now offers low-cost transitional housing for men in sobriety. Simply maintain a program of recovery and have 30 days of sobriety to qualify. These apartments are fully furnished with a large kitchen, living room, dining area, cable TV, and laundry. Sun Street is now taking applicants. Seven Suns Transitional Housing for Men with a sincere commitment to their recovery at a low cost. Call 753-5145, 753-5145 to apply. Sun Street Centers in Salinas.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Shout out to all the great San Francisco Bay Area progressives who came out to Yoshi's on Tuesday night for the great inaugural ball and party. My friend Jay Thompson, Johnny Thompson, in a trio format, playing some smooth jazz. They let me up on the stage for a few minutes, and people laughed at my Abilify joke. Except that one heckler. She was really annoying. And then we got her another drink. And I want to mention that this Friday, there's an event that you might want to check out. True School is presenting The Big Payback. It's a $5 ticket to a party to pay back San Francisco's nightlife community for their years of dedicated support. It's two rooms of nonstop party rock and mix, a hip-hop, dancehall, old-school, R&B, funk, breaks, electro, and much more. And the all-star lineup features my man Chewy Gomez, also DJ Mr. E, Yazur, D-Sharp, Mike Nice, Ren the Vinyl Archaeologist, and my real pal, DJ Nicotti. They'll be holding down the side lounge with Vic the Villain. And this is all going on at Mighty, 119 Utah Street at 15th Street in San Francisco. That's Friday night. You got to be 21 with an ID. And the action starts at 10 p.m. going all night. Well, I was up late after the inaugural party and catching up on some television news consumption. But, hey, Wednesday morning comes soon enough. And it was not only day one for the Obama administration, but it's also the day I put out the garbage and the recycling. And as I took my newspapers in a bag and my bottles and cans in a bucket out to the curb, I thought to myself, well, they're going to load it on a truck and take it to the landfill, and then what's going to happen? Because the market for recyclables has changed dramatically with the economic downturn worldwide. And you may not know this, but here on the left coast, about 75% of our recyclable materials were being shipped overseas. I'm not sure what the status of that is, so let's turn to the guy who knows. Robert Reed at NorCal Waste joins us now. Robert, thanks for talking with us today.
Good afternoon.
So answer my question. I took that stuff to the curb. They're going to load it on that special truck. And then what's going to happen to my cardboard, my glass, my plastic?
Well, there's a lot going on with recycling. Garbage and recycling kind of goes the way the economy goes. When the economy is going full guns, people are shopping and there's more cardboard and boxes. And when the economy slows down, there's less material, and at this particular time, some of the manufacturers around the Pacific Rim, some of the paper manufacturers, for example, have reduced their production, say, by 50%.
Yeah.
So paper mills that had 10 presses running are now running 5, and they're just not buying as much paper and as much cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
So we're fortunate here in San Francisco because we have a very advanced recycling program. A lot of people participate. We've been recycling very aggressively for a long time, and we actually bale a high quality a bale of paper or bale of cardboard. We have a reputation of having high quality materials compared to other parts of the United States,
mm-hmm.
where the recycling systems aren't as robust. And so, like any other commodity in a buyer's market, buyers are a little more choosy. And the commodities marketing brokers, they are choosing materials here from the Bay Area and from Northern California because they're a higher quality. So we're still rolling. We're still baling everything we collect for recycling. We're still shipping it both domestically and around the Pacific Rim.
Oh yeah.
And you are correct about of the material that gets sorted and baled, about 25% goes domestic and about 75% goes foreign.
Now, I don't know if you saw it, Robert, but I think it was in early December. I saw some aerial photographs on television of the port of Long Beach, and there were two dramatic developments there that were quite visible. One was that Toyota and other auto manufacturers that bring cars in from Japan have stacks and stacks of cars, and Toyota had to lease two additional huge lots because of the backlog of inventory they have. And then the helicopter just cruised a little bit further down, and they showed this huge pile of bales and containers of recycled materials sitting on the docks there with nowhere to go. So the impression I got was there was like a total lockdown. And one of the things that you can tell me more about is if I'm running a box factory in China that's next to, say, a TV plant or the place where they make those cordless phones that break after 3 months, they were importing our recyclable materials to make the cartons to send these products to the United States. At what point does it no longer become cost-effective to ship that stuff, and at what point is it cheaper for them to use locally available materials because the demand has dropped and the cost of transporting the recyclable materials may, kind of tilt it over the tipping point?
Well, you mentioned, this visual from the helicopter where you saw all these containers, and the impression is there's a total lockdown. Not the case. Like I said, we still go to the store and buy groceries. We still shop, and we might not be doing it at the same level we were doing it before, but if you walk down an aisle at a grocery store, almost everything on the shelves is in some type of paper box, whether it's cereal or pasta or some other edible item that you're purchasing. So while people aren't buying as many things, people are still buying, mm-hmm. and they're still operating those plants. So it's not a total lockdown. We're just running at, say, three-quarter speed, and they still need available materials. Another term you used, they don't have a lot of available materials in a lot of these places where they're manufacturing products and where they're stamping out boxes to package those products. They don't have forests in Japan. They don't have a lot of resources in China. That's why they in the Philippines and in India and in South Korea, and even here domestically, these are resources. I would encourage everybody to look at their garbage a little more closely. We're trying very hard to get people to look at their garbage. And when you do, just pause. Dear valued customer, take a moment. Look in your garbage can, and what do you see?
Mm-hmm.
You see cardboard. You see paper, you see metal, you see glass. These are resources. This isn't garbage. These are available resources. And when we look very closely at what goes into the landfill, we've worked with the city of San Francisco and studied it with engineers. And when we do that, it bears out that about 75 to 80% of the stuff that people throw away is resources, not resources, and mm-hmm. should be recycled, and we're trying very hard to get. We're doing some very creative things to encourage people to look at their garbage. And when you do that, you see that piece of cardboard, and it's just as easy to put that piece of cardboard in a recycling bin as it is to throw it away.
Yeah, I understand that. And right there at the curb this morning, I made that last minute decision. I had a garbage can, and I had my recycling bin, and in the back of the car, I had an empty plastic water bottle. And I said, yeah, that goes in recycling. But there are times when it's just easier or we're too lazy, or maybe a combination of the two. Mike and Aptos, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Robert Reed from NorCal Waste.
Hey, Peter. Regarding the transportation costs back to China or wherever, it seems to me that they're bringing full ships over here of goods, and then they empty them out for consumer goods, and we're not sending anything back. So rather than go back empty, it's better to take at least something because they've got to go back to China anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me the transportation costs wouldn't be that much. They'd be willing to discount it
All right, well, let's ask Robert about that. Is this a good point? If they're deadheading back, the real cost is much lower?
He's exactly right. It's called backhauling, and the ship has to go back anyway. So if it's going to bring products over here across the pond, the Pacific, then we don't want it to go back empty, and they don't want to go back empty, and they don't. They load up. That's why you saw these seagoing shipping containers that you mentioned from the helicopter camera.
Mm-hmm.
They are full of paper, or they might be full of cardboard or plastic bottles or metal cans. Although most metal cans go domestic. And by the way, these seagoing shipping containers, they can go on a train. They can go by rail to a domestic location. They can be loaded on an 18-wheel truck and be driven to a glass plant here in California, or they can be placed on a ship. I mean, please keep in mind that not all of this stuff goes foreign. A lot of it goes domestic.
Mm-hmm. Mike, anything else?
Kind of a sad statement on our economy that that's what we have to export is garbage.
Well, it's also, it's just a very vivid reminder of our trade deficit.
Exactly.
Okay? That all this, all these products come in from China and the ships go back empty.
Yeah, we send back the packing.
Yeah. All right, Mike, thank you very much. Now, Robert, what about the issues related to trying to reduce the carbon output from the whole garbage recycling landfill process? What are you folks doing? Because you're often on the cutting edge of developing new techniques.
Well, we're trying to help people understand that that recycling is more powerful at helping protect the environment than many Americans realize. And what I mean by that is that we've developed a food scrap compost program. So if you live in a city like San Francisco, you can put your coffee grounds and your chicken bones and some broccoli stems and other food scraps like that in a green cart, and we will pick that up and take it to a modern compost facility that we own and operate. And there's a lot of carbon in those food scraps. We can preserve most of that carbon in the finished compost by using modern composting techniques. And then the carbon is returned to the soil when that compost is applied to a vineyard. And even more exciting is that this compost helps enable the earth to store carbon. Compost helps create a healthier farm, and it allows those farms to grow a very diverse and healthy cover crop, and that cover crop can actually pull carbon out of the atmosphere. We're trying to help people understand this, and when people understand, wow, this sounds like good medicine, this sounds like something that we can do to help reduce carbon in the atmosphere. And then people are motivated, and then people want to know more about how they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we give them the ABCs on how to go about doing it.
I'm looking at a picture of one of your trucks with a very vivid, full-color photograph banner on the side. And it basically shows various kinds of food scrap garbage. And you then depict a vineyard in the shape of the garbage container, the recycling container, one of those new boxes with wheels on it. And I think that's an interesting image. Are you getting positive reaction to these posters?
We're getting extremely positive reaction to this visual campaign. They are 3D photographs of resources. You know, when you stand to the side of the neighborhood collection truck and you look at the side of the truck, it looks as though there is no side on the truck, and you can look and see the garbage inside the truck.
Right. Yeah.
And this is an effort to get people to pause for a moment and look at their garbage. And the one you're describing, if you look at it, you see a watermelon.
Yeah.
And you see bread, and you see fish bones, and you see other types of food scrap.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to help people see that that is a resource. In fact, there's a lot of carbon and there's a lot of nutrients in those particular food scraps.
Mm-hmm.
And within the recycling cart that's depicted there on the side of the truck, we show the vineyard. We show an environment that we're trying to help protect. So we're trying to help people make the visual connection.
The whole cycle, yeah. Robert, I'm out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us. I appreciate the update on the recycling market. And you keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed being with you today.
Robert Reed at NorCal Waste. We're going to take a break and return. Caroline Frederickson from the ACLU has breaking news. The Obama administration circulating a draft executive order to shut down Guantanamo Bay prison camp. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KIXA. Ha!
Wide open Robinson for a three off the inbound. Two for two, Nike and Robinson. Four on three up the left side. Jamal Boykin in the open floor. Goes in and Vidy and scores.
This is the voice of the Golden Bears, Roxy Bernstein, inviting you to join us for another exciting season of Cal basketball right here on your home. For the Bears.
The Bears return home this Thursday as Oregon State comes to the Haas Pavilion. Basketball at its best. 7 p.m. KRXA Thursday.
This is a benefit performance for Planned Parenthood. Because there is a right time and a wrong time to have parents. And, this summer was a great summer. The Santa Cruz City Council passed a resolution that says we're going to have a global warming czar, which will help us with the upcoming climate change. And this is very cool. And you know what? That inspired FEMA. Did you hear about this? FEMA is coming to Santa Cruz to help us prepare and educate us about the global warming.
Oh, send them back.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Hold it. That was my mistake. No, FEMA is actually coming to Santa Cruz in response to the earthquake of 1989.
Richard Stockton with a minute from planetcruz.org.
My name is R.J. Moyer, president of Family Heritage Management Services. I am a retirement specialist, and I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. With securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your banker or broker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 831-794-8485 to receive your free brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup in our Salinas location. Call 831-794-8485. It's a new market, and it's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485. If you transfer your IRA, 401k, or any of your retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, $700,000 becomes $770,000. It's a new market. It's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
It's day one of the Obama administration, and already changes are coming on.
Still don't know what I was waiting for, and my time was running wild and in dead streets. And every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. Well, I've never caught a glimpse how the others may see the baker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Well, over the last few years, we've had a number of conversations with Caroline Frederickson at the ACLU, and she joins us today with some interesting developments in a positive way about Guantanamo Bay. Welcome, Caroline.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
Well, we've been laboring under all of this angst of the Bush administration and their policies, which are so barbaric and backward, and we're pleased that there is follow-through on an Obama campaign promise. Tell us what's going on relative to the plan to close Gitmo.
Oh, well, it's fabulous news, and, you know, we're so thrilled because of all of the things that we were looking to the Obama administration to do. We really wanted first day for him to close Guantanamo. It's been such a blemish on our society and our system of justice, on our reputation in the world. And there's a draft executive order out there now that will close Guantanamo. And it won't just close it and move it somewhere else. It's actually going to close Guantanamo in the right way and move people into the American criminal justice system or send them home.
Wow. And what is the process here? Because Eric Holder, the Attorney General designate, in his confirmation hearing said it will be closed, but it might take longer than we had hoped. And I can understand that it's not as simple as I want it to be, just charge him and release the rest. And those who are charged either get into the military court system or our federal criminal court system. And I also understand that some of the innocent people are difficult to repatriate, but that doesn't mean we can't close Gitmo and move them to a Club Med somewhere for the interim.
Well, exactly. I mean, basically what the draft executive order says is exactly what the ACLU and other human rights organizations have been seeking, which is, number one, review the cases, understand who's there and why,
state
out those people who might move into a criminal justice process, and the rest of them deal with case by case and through diplomatic means so that you can understand how to repatriate them if they can go back to their home country or if they can't go back there because some countries do not agree not to torture people. Deal with where else they can go. And some of these people can come to the United States. The Uyghurs are one fine example. A group of Chinese from the western part of China who happen to be Muslim and have been very afraid of mistreatment and torture at the hands of the Chinese government, they could come to the United States. Even the Bush administration admitted quite some time ago that these guys were there for all the wrong reasons. They're innocent. They should be brought to a safe place and integrated into society. And we can make this happen. And the executive order actually lays this all out, the whole process.
Wow. And what about ending the military commissions? Because these, unfortunately, are codified by the badly written Military Commissions Act of 2006. And, you know, I call that the Joe Stalin Detention Interrogation and Kangaroo Court Act.
That's right.
Can the administration simply order these tribunals to stop and then keep these people on ice until they either move them into the military or federal court systems?
Well, you know, Peter, that actually happened already. That happened yesterday. Again, it's been a great couple of days in so many different ways, but President Obama sent a message through Secretary Gates to the military prosecutors saying, file a motion to delay proceedings, to suspend proceedings. And so with the agreement of the defense counsel, they suspended all the military commissions pending a review process. And then in the interim, this executive order is coming out that actually terminates the military commission. So I think we can turn a page on that black history in the United States. The military commissions look to be over.
But still, for cleanup purposes, ultimately, we would like to repeal the Military Commissions Act of 06.
Absolutely, and there are a number of reasons for that. And the Military Commissions Act gave the president all sorts of broad authorities to do such things as define a war crime, define an enemy combatant, allowed the use of secret evidence and evidence produced through abuses. All that stuff needs to come off the books, because even if President Obama seems to be a true civil libertarian and believe in the Constitution, he might change, or the next president might not be a believer in the Constitution. And
right.
So we just need to make sure this isn't available for any future president.
Amen. And I'll support every effort to repeal that. Caroline, in 45 seconds, what else would you like to add about this development?
Well, I recommend people go to our website, which is ACLU.org. There are a variety of things up there. I mean, we have high hopes for additional changes that President Obama can make in short order simply by the stroke of a pen. And we're looking very much in anticipation to upcoming positive executive orders that will really start to clean up the mess that President Bush left behind him.
Yeah, and one of them is here in San Francisco, where at the last minute the Mukasey Justice Department thumbed its nose at Judge Vaughn Walker and basically punted to the Obama administration on the El Aramein charity and the domestic wiretapping case. I'm really interested to see what the new Justice Department does with this one. Caroline, thank you for the update. It's nice to have good news coming from you as we talk about Gitmo.
Thanks so much.
All right, Caroline Frederickson at the ACLU. Gitmo's going to be closed.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Day one of the Obama administration.
A clean break from business as usual.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill, where Hillary Clinton was confirmed and is now Secretary of State.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A flurry of activity at the White House as Barack Obama got off to a fast start. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports.
President Obama describes his first public acts as
a clean break from business as usual.
In a highly symbolic move, he's freezing the pay of senior staffers who make more than $100,000 a year.
During this period of economic emergency, families are tightening their belts, and so should Washington.
Another order bans officials who were lobbyists from working on areas they represented in the private sector. The president also promises his administration will be more responsive to freedom of information requests that have often been tangled in red tape.
For a long time now, there's been too much secrecy in this city.
Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
Mr. Obama made phone calls this morning to four leaders in the Middle East, telling them he's committed to active engagement in the peace process. Former Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell is expected to be named as a special envoy to the region. The president also got a briefing from his economic advisors and held a meeting on Iraq in the Situation Room. CBS News has confirmed that he'll move soon to shut down Gitmo.
I'm Dan Raviv in Washington. An executive order from President Obama is expected to say the Guantanamo detention camp created after 9/11 should be closed within 1 year. And for now, all the military commission trials are suspended, including the one where Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four other al-Qaeda men have been asking to be executed. What will happen to them and the other 240 or so detainees? Still not known.
When he arrived in the Oval Office this morning, Mr. Obama spent 10 minutes alone. He read a note left by George W. Bush. It was marked to number 44 from number 43. Now this.
With Medicare Part D, you'll pay about the same copay anywhere. No wonder seniors are choosing America's most trusted pharmacy, Walgreens. There's no more shopping around for price, so join the millions by transferring your prescriptions to Walgreens. Just bring in your bottles and they'll do the rest. Not only will you get great service and convenience at Walgreens, you'll also feel safer knowing you have just one pharmacy helping you manage all your medicines. Walgreens accepts most Medicare Part D plans.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I design and sell my very own line of baby clothes. When I started my business, I knew how to make the baby clothes, but I didn't really know the business side of things. And it became very clear that I needed help. So I'd heard about Intuit QuickBooks, you know, that small business software, and thought, that's just what I need. Then I saw I could try it for free, and you know what? It's been great, totally easy to use. And it's helped me avoid a lot of growing pains.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
Hillary Clinton is Secretary of State now, confirmed by the Senate this afternoon.
Though a Republican senator delayed the confirmation by a day, when it came, support for Hillary Clinton was overwhelming.
Hillary Clinton is exactly the right person for the job.
Not only Democrats like fellow New Yorker Chuck Schumer, but Republicans, including South Carolina's Lindsey Graham.
I think this new president deserves to have his team in place. I could not think of a better choice for Secretary of State.
The final vote was 94-2, and as soon as it was over, Clinton was immediately sworn in as Secretary of State. The governor of New York now must name her replacement in the Senate. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Treasury nominee Tim Geithner had his confirmation hearing today, apologizing for his failure to pay $34,000 in taxes.
These were careless mistakes. They were avoidable mistakes. But they were unintentional.
Geithner has paid what he owed, and the Senate Finance Committee is expected to recommend confirmation. Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee have delayed a vote on Attorney General designate Eric Holder for 1 week. The Food and Drug Administration says it's traced the source of the Salmonella outbreak. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Not only has salmonella been found in foods made from peanut butter and paste produced at a Georgia plant, FDA official Steven Sundloff now says...
We did find it in the plant. It was not the same strain as the outbreak strain. It does indicate that there are problems within the plant because salmonella should not be found there.
No major peanut butter brand is being linked to the outbreak, which has sickened 486 people and caused six deaths. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A better day on Wall Street. The Dow's back over 8,200 with a gain of 279 points. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
There are some buying opportunities out there. There is the belief that at the end of the day, President Obama and his new administration are going to take some real steps quickly to help turn things around for the financials.
Bank stocks are much improved. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
All right, construction crews. Everybody ready?
Ready in Chicago.
Montgomery.
Honolulu. Oh, who's in Honolulu?
It's Tim from Boston. I just got transferred to Hawaii. Wicked good weather they got here.
Buy one Motorola i576 phone for $69.99. Get up to four free with Sprint, the fastest national push-to-talk network. Call 1-800-NEXTEL-9. Only on the Now Network. Fastest based on initial call setup time. Offers for eligible business accounts only. See Sprint stores for availability. Ends 4/18/09. Subject to 2-year agreement. Up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit per line. Restrictions apply.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Not that.
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's day one of the Obama administration. And up on the Peter B. Collins scoreboard, Barry is batting 1,000. Oh, it won't last. But I'm savoring it, as you just heard from the lips of Caroline Frederickson of the ACLU. He is going to close Guantanamo Bay. How about a theme park there, huh? Music of the moment, for no particular reason, is by Midnight Oil. The big herky-jerky bald guy Peter Garrett is their lead singer. But now he's in government. He's like the environment minister in Australia now. Later this hour, James K. Galbraith of the famous Galbraith Economist family will join us. He's a professor at UT Austin and a columnist for Mother Jones magazine. His latest piece there in Mother Jones is called Stimulus is for Suckers. So I'm looking forward to talking with him about the economic issues that President Obama faces, and they are big ones. There's no doubt about that. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number if you'd like to join the conversation. And joining me from Columbus, Ohio, is Cliff Schechter. He wrote The Real McCain, a great book about that candidate last year. And he is joining us today to talk about, well, just what a relief it is that John McCain is not president and George W. Bush flew off in that little green helicopter. Hey, Cliff.
How you doing? I got to tell you right away, I am not from a family of economists, Peter.
No, me either.
And you don't make that mistake of thinking I'm smart or something like that.
There is no math genius in my bloodline either, I can tell you that.
No, we've got problems with that side of our brain.
So, Cliff, in talking to people on the radio yesterday, and then we went to a big party in San Francisco last night, the lingering image is of Bush leaving in the helicopter.
It certainly is. You know, I was thinking about today how there was, not that I used to religiously watch the show or even really watch it, but I certainly remember the TV show Dallas.
Oh, yeah. I am not so ashamed to, well, I am ashamed to admit, I watched it pretty regularly when it was on.
Nothing wrong with that. You shouldn't be ashamed. Hey, listen, I watched Beverly Hills 90210 at one period in time before we're going to come clean with all of our dirty secrets.
Yeah, I never got that habit, but I did think that Larry Hagman playing J.R. and Barbara Bel Geddes as the mom, she reminds me of Barbara Bush.
Yes.
I mean, it was a classic primetime soap opera.
Well, I was going to say, so it's classic in the way that it's Dallas and it's, you know, oil, money, and all the wonderful things that is the Bush family.
Yeah.
But you've also got that this one episode, 1 year where, and I can't remember his name anymore, but is JR's brother, I believe.
Bobby.
Yes, Bobby left the show.
Right.
And then he wanted to come back because I guess he didn't do very well out in the film market. So they turned an entire year into a dream.
Yeah.
It's
been
one long dream every episode.
Well, and he'd been shot dead at the end of the preceding season.
That's right. and what I'm thinking here is, I honestly, now that Bush is actually gone, now that I saw that helicopter leave and all that, it almost seems like the last 8 years is just one big long nightmare that maybe, you know, maybe it didn't really happen. I don't know. Maybe the country is the same place, you know, if it weren't for, of course, the economy, the foreign policy, health care, energy, and every other problem we've got. But otherwise, it just is a surreal thing to think that we woke up to this dimwit as our president for 8 years who had no interest in policy, no interest really in anything. So anything that had to do with making the United States a better place to live for all of us. And so it's quite a weird experience, but thank God for where we are right now.
Well, and one of the things that I will treasure, I have the Nation Magazine's Photoshop version. It wasn't quite Photoshop, but they took an image of Bush and merged it with Alfred E. Newman, and that is unforgettable. And I also have what is a Photoshop mock-up of a Time magazine cover with W on the cover, and the headline just reads, "We're effed."
I remember that one. Those were sent out right after the first stealing of the election, and then the quote, I'll put in quotes, re-election.
Yes.
In 2004, those were going around, and I have a copy of that somewhere myself.
Yeah. Well, I like to say he was installed twice, but I never refer to him as winning an election.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I'm basically with you. I'm 100% confident he was installed once and about 75% the second time.
Mm-hmm. So just before you joined us, we got great news. And Caroline Fredrickson and I, she's at the ACLU. We've been talking for several years, and it's always down and sad and barbaric to think about what's going on. And it was so uplifting to hear from her with the good news that Obama is following through on the promise to issue an executive order. The draft has been circulated to close Guantanamo, to charge prisoners who are there, and essentially find ways to release and repatriate the rest. And I am pleased. That's why I said at the top that he's batting 1,000. I know it won't last, and I'm a realist in that respect. But it is so important to me that we recognize the failures of the past and make this very visible effort to change it and rectify it. And this dovetails with the president's inaugural address yesterday, where he really did repudiate everything that Bush and Cheney sat for. They were sitting at the time.
But Cheney, obviously hurt his back lifting the man safe or the hidden files or whatever it is he needed to get out of there.
Well, it was carrying boxes to the shredder or the server with all the missing emails. Got so heavy.
He did talk about that, which was important yesterday, something along the lines of transparency and the rule of law will be touchstones of my presidency, and for all of us who actually believe in that strange document called the Constitution, and think that it has some pretty good guidelines in there, thank God, and just seeing that. I mean, again, it's really the whole Bush years has been a surreal experience. Particularly, I'll say, just from my background as someone who, up to the graduate level, has studied history, and you see these periods of times where countries run away from all of the principles that have defined them, and you always ask questions of how could that happen? You know, if you're not there at the time, you don't understand how fear is manipulated, propaganda is used, and the rest, you don't get it. And for the last 8 years, it just felt like everything that I ever learned about my country was being torn apart in front of my eyes. Mm-hmm. Everything that I was taught to believe in our goodness and what we stood for, and it's like a huge relief to head back to.
Now, Cliff, I want you to be really careful here, because if Cindy McCain's listening, she's going to respond by saying, "I've always loved my country."
That's right. She never had that period of time. Although she did question her husband's hairline, which led him to call her a very bad name.
That's right. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I don't get asked about that anymore. So I have to just bring it up every once in a while.
So what do you make of the dinner in honor of John McCain and the way Obama went to honor him? I find this interesting, but I really feel that this is an expression of the inexperience of Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And I feel that this effort or this experiment in post-partisanship and loving up the Republicans is really going to bite him in the butt real soon. I mean, John Cornyn, yesterday used his prerogative in the Senate to block the confirmation of Hillary Clinton in the voice vote. She was confirmed today,
right,
as everyone expected.
And there was no point to that.
I agree.
Except for to just act like Senator Box Turtle that he is.
Mm-hmm. And so I think this is an indication that many of these Republicans, particularly in the Senate, where they've got a great deal of individual power and prerogative, when it comes to the Employee Free Choice Act, when it comes to health care reform, I think all those things will zip through the House. Pelosi will grease the skids, but Harry Reid does not have the 60 votes he needs, and minority rule will be the mantra of the Republicans.
I definitely will be. I mean, I've written about Mitch McConnell numerous times for the Washington Monthly Magazine and some other places, because I spent a little time back in 2002 working against him and got an idea of who the guy is. And he exists for no other reason but to block policy. It's something that makes him feel powerful, makes him feel like a big man. He's much more dangerous and, frankly, much more interested, I think, in being in the minority. He doesn't really like handling a majority. He likes being the guy to stop things. In terms of what Obama's doing in particular, I think the stuff with McCain I'm okay with. I think there's a few points that need to be. First of all, there are a lot of progressives that got behind Barack Obama, a lot, in a very big way. And I think it's important that he can reach out, and I think that's a great idea, but he needs to also do the same reaching out to people on his own left flank. What Bill Clinton, people forgotten, did back with NAFTA got a lot of people on the left quite angry. I don't think served him well.
That's a very good point, Cliff.
So I think that every time you get together with one of these groups of conservatives, you should be getting together with your own base and making sure you're keeping them happy,
mm-hmm,
and showing them the respect they deserve from the fact that they put you there. The second thing is, know the difference between the people on the other side you can work with and the people you can't work with. The thing about John McCain is, and I've said this many times before, someone who's chronicled him, he's a guy that is looking out for himself. He cares about his own image. He's not doing things based on principle. He never has. So you can use that against him. The truth is, at this point, he lost the presidential election pretty badly. He sullied his own image while he did it. And I bet he's looking for any way possible to kind of fix his legacy in the meantime. And that means he's also probably a little bit mad at some of the conservatives that didn't sign up with him initially or criticized him. If that means you can pull him over in a couple votes where you need him just by kissing his butt a little bit, I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But know the difference. When I hear Obama say things like he wants 80 votes for the stimulus package, come on. I mean, in all honesty, the Cornyns, the Coburns, a lot of these, particularly usually these backbencher troublemakers, the Vitters, if he's not off too busy with Women of the Night, the DeMintz, who, by the way, I would guess is running for president in a couple of years, considering I never heard from DeMint in the past. He's a crazy right-wing lunatic from South Carolina, and now he's one of the two votes against Hillary Clinton. He's opening his mouth, it seems like, every other week. He led the fight against the auto bailout. You're going to have some of these guys who, just for presidential reasons or others, are going to purposely try and get in your way. And so there's no point in trying to coddle them and trying to win them over. Get the 10 or 15 Republicans, the reasonable ones. Get the Dick Lugers and the Olympia Snows, who, even if they disagree with you, are willing to talk. And that's what he should be concentrating on, as far as I'm concerned.
Some really good advice for President Obama from Cliff Schechter. We'll take a break and continue here in just a moment. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. I see we got a caller on the line from Georgia. We'll get to him in just a moment. And you can join us, too, at 888-5, Peter B. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Unnecessary sedation.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Ponch, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
The Otters are on the bus to Panoma and San Bernardino this coming Friday and Saturday. Don't miss any of the action here on KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We've got a lot happening out there this afternoon. On Highway 1 at Big Sur, we have a report of a vehicle that has crashed into the mountainside. An ambulance is responding right now, so you may experience some delays there. And in Santa Cruz on Highway 17, just north of Laurel Road, we have a traffic collision due to some debris in the road, so look out there. Jumping up to Hollister Gilroy, Troy. There's a traffic collision with an ambulance responding on the northbound 101 just south of Cochrane Road. A vehicle has gone off the right-hand shoulder. CHP is on the scene there. In weather, we're going to have intermittent showers throughout the rest of the afternoon and tonight, and expect more showers tomorrow. Well, have a safe commute, everybody. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
Where was Prince? He was supposed to be at the Purple Ball last night, wasn't he? 23 minutes into the hour, we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your humble host has been tapped to sit in tomorrow on the Tom Hartman program. Tom will do the first hour, then he dashes to the airport, and I'll pick up hours 2 and 3. Join me then, and we'll see what happens.
Dig if you will, the picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. The sweat of your body covers me. Can you, my darling?
We're talking with Cliff Schechter, political activist and author of The Real McCain. And we're joined by Bob in Georgia. Hey, Bob, welcome. How you feeling, Bob?
Fine, thank you. I was just going to ask Cliff, doesn't he think that the corporate rulers of the country don't really want to deal with the left, and reaching out to the right is kind of a way to keep them at bay, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd answer that by saying I think it's been the culture of the past 30 years since the late 70s when the new right came about and Reagan took over, which is that people still, you know, you get caught in this mindset where everybody, including Democrats, have thought, well, you know, what you do is you piss off the left and you appease the right. That's just the way you do things. And this is a much different country from the 1930s to the 1970s. In fact, it was just the opposite. It was a time when people like Richard Nixon called them, used the word liberal to refer to some of their policies and themselves at times, same with Eisenhower. So we've got to get back to that culture, to where people remember what made this country a great country during that period of time, when union membership went up, when civil rights laws were passed, when we didn't fight wars based upon lies on the cheap. Obviously, Vietnam was the beginning of the end of that. You know, that's what that would be my answer. And Obama and some of his people, I still think, are stuck in that mindset, but much further removed from it than the Clinton people, so we get better over time.
And, Cliff, I've developed this metaphor from my sailing experience on San Francisco Bay. We have these high-tech tractor tugs that have propellers that can spin in, you know, be directed in any direction. So the tugboat comes up alongside the big ship, and then the captain of the tugboat controls the big ship by deciding which way his propeller is pointed. And I see progressives as that tractor tug, and we're going to lash on to the ship Obama and drive it to the center, and then I want to push it a little to the left, because we've got to compensate for the restriping of the lanes in the last 25 years.
No, I mean, that's exactly right. There is an Italian Marxist by the name of Gramsci who had a famous quote that he who controls the culture controls the politics.
Mm-hmm.
It is culture the box you put yourself in, and it really affects everything. And the culture has been such a conservative culture. Everything you default to. Corporations are right. Deregulate. I mean, you know, if there's any problems with the economy, you immediately cut taxes on wealthy people. I mean, these were just these things with the right-wing think tanks and the people in power became accepted dogma. And we've been in a long, slow process watching everything they advocated for fail again and again. Deregulation, mm-hmm. supply-side economics, you know, wars of choice, and the rest. And so a lot of people have been removed from that, but again, it's a gradual process, and I wish it could happen quicker, but we'll get there, I think.
Yeah. And, Bob, I see on the screen you'd like me to be on satellite radio. XM was bought by Sirius, so call the people at Sirius. And also, I'll just let you know that right now there are schedule changes going on because Rachel Maddow is shifting her radio show. And so this is a good time for people to contact their local progressive talk station and say, it's time for you to pick up the Peter B. Collins Show. So there's a shameless self-promotion plug.
Tell them we can't live without Peter B. Collins.
Your show is so superior, and the things we have to deal with, I think that whoever owns XM might be one of those right-wing type people that's kind of controlling that, because the shows we get are just all corporate Democrats, you know.
Yeah. Well, XM was merged into Sirius. Mel Karmazin is running the whole show, and he's a big fan of Howard Stern. So that's he thinks below the belt. That's about it. I don't think he's so much a right winger as just a guy who, well, He thinks sleaze equals cash. So thank you for your call today, Bob. I really appreciate it. And I want to ask you one other thing, Cliff.
Sure.
Hillary Clinton, oh, let me drop that call. That's where the echo's coming from. Hillary Clinton was confirmed today, so the governor of New York is likely to name Caroline Kennedy to replace her in the United States Senate. And I accept that. And I know that our friends in Boston have deep love for the Kennedy clan, and I'm pleased that Teddy came through that little mini seizure just fine yesterday. But I'm still uncomfortable, and I just have to say so, that dynasty politics don't work, and the citizens of New York got a carpet-bagging Hillary Clinton senator now being replaced by a dynasty person, and I would just like to see the voters get a shot at that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say, look, I think everything I know, Caroline Kennedy's a terrific person, and I have no reason to doubt that she'll make a terrific legislator because I think she's got great values and she'll apply herself. With that said, I agree. I mean, it just, you know, I'm reading something about Val Kilmer, people, you know, the actor wanting to run for governor of New Mexico. I mean, we're just getting to a point where it doesn't really matter. All that matters is that you have the name.
Well, and we've got a guy with a name who's really stinking up the joint big time, and his name's Schwarzenegger, and he's married to a Kennedy. Thank you, Cliff Schechter.
All right, thanks a lot, Peter.
We'll talk to you again real soon. I hope you enjoy it. Coming up next, Jamie Galbraith says stimulus is for suckers.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Who was that man, really? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It's time to look at how the inauguration answered some of the issues raised about Barack Obama. First, that he is running away from his controversial middle name. He doesn't want anybody to know that it's Hussein.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
Well, that secret's out. All those emails insisting that Mr. Obama is a Muslim. Well, nothing necessarily wrong with that, but that was sure one strange Muslim opening prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
And then the charge that he is going to address terrorism with soft words and gentle understanding.
And for those who seek to advance their aims by inducing terror and slaughtering innocents, we say to you now that our spirit is stronger and cannot be broken. You cannot outlast us, and we will defeat you.
So I guess he won't be giving them Google Maps to our tallest buildings after all. The charge that he is a share-the-wealth communist.
Nor is the question before us whether the market is a force for good or ill. Its power to generate wealth and expand freedom is unmatched.
And the charge that he's the Antichrist. Well, Wall Street certainly thought so. But if he has 7 heads and 10 horns and feet like a bear, he covers them well. I will note, however, that when he said we have to pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off...
We must pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off...
You could make a case that he is, in fact, the reincarnation of Fred Astaire.
I pick myself up, dust myself off, and start all over again.
And he was dancing in a tuxedo with a white tie. Now this...
All right, construction crews. Everybody ready?
Ready in Chicago.
Montgomery.
Honolulu. Oh, who's in Honolulu?
It's Tim from Boston. I just got transferred to Hawaii.
Wicked good weather they got here.
Buy one Motorola i576 phone for $69.99. Get up to 4 free with Sprint, the fastest national push-to-talk network. Call 1-800-NEXTEL-9. Only on the Now Network. Fastest based on initial call setup time. Offers for eligible business accounts only. See Sprint stores for availability. Ends 4/18/09. Subject to 2-year agreement. Up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit per line. Restrictions apply.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes your humble host is shocked at how commentary on this program can coincide with real events in the real world. Just minutes before we took a break, I was talking with Cliff Schechter. I had a minute remaining, and I said, let's bring up this story about Caroline Kennedy being appointed to the U.S. Senate. After all, the decks are clear now. Hillary was cleared and confirmed by the U.S. Senate as the next Secretary of State. Her resignation will follow, and then the governor will appoint her replacement. And I was opining about I'm uncomfortable with the dynasty politics of Caroline Kennedy with no political experience, a good person, a smart person, good values, good DNA, all that stuff. But I felt the voters of New York, the citizens who got a carpetbag senator in Hillary Clinton, and she did a decent job, but they might want a homegrown person who has distinguished herself or himself in political office in New York in the past. And 30 seconds after we went to the break, Andy called from New York to say, aha, Caroline Kennedy has withdrawn. And she has notified Governor Patterson that because of her uncle's health, Teddy Kennedy's health, and the seizure that occurred during the inaugural luncheon in the Capitol yesterday, that she is reconsidering and removing her name from consideration. So that case is closed, and Ms. Kennedy, to the extent that I may have offended you with my comments, I offer this humble apology.
Excuse me.
Joining us now is James K. Galbraith, the Lloyd M. Benson Chair in Government and Business Relations and Professor of Economics at the LBJ School of Public Affairs, University of Texas at Austin. He has a distinguished background, including Harvard. He was a Marshall Scholar at King's College, Cambridge, and he's written a number of books. My favorite, at least by title, is his latest, The Predator State, How Conservatives Abandoned the Free Market and Why Liberals Should Too, published way back last year. He goes by Jamie, Professor Galbraith. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much.
Nice to talk with you. And you have penned a piece in the current edition of Mother Jones Magazine called Stimulus is for Suckers.
Yes, that's so.
You're confirming that. Well, I want to get your thoughts on this because I am so uncomfortable with the bailouts that have occurred so far, with the secret injections of cash by the Fed into banks, and beyond that, because even Bloomberg can't get them to disclose where all the money has gone, and the commitments to date amount to as much as $8.4 trillion. And I went over there to the Fed's discount window number two, hoping to just, you know, borrow a thousand or two, and they said, oh, we're tapped out, we had $50 billion, it's gone. So I'm trying to understand what's going on and if it will have the desired effect. And you write about this and say that stimulus is like a sugar high, and as soon as the stimulation stops, the effect stops.
Well, let's distinguish a number of different things here. One of them is the bill, which has just been introduced in the House and Senate, which would provide about $800 billion of new public spending over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very good bill, and I think it's a well-drafted bill. It puts resources into programs which have already been authorized and is that should be enacted. It will save some jobs. It will generate some activity. It is not by any means a complete solution to our economic problems, but it is a step in the right direction and one that can be put in place quickly.
Mm-hmm.
These other matters that you're talking about relate to the financial transactions, the financial maneuvers, which have been going on since late September, early October,
mm-hmm.
Under the rubric of the of two things. One is the TARP, the Troubled Assets Relief Program, repurchase program, which was enacted in early October. And the other is the Federal Reserve's balance sheet operations, which are the subject of that Bloomberg FOIA lawsuit, which mm-hmm. I wish them well in. A couple of things have happened here. One is that the Treasury, initially having thought it could buy back these toxic mortgages from the banks and simply let them float off to do their thing, replace the bad assets with good cash, discovered that that was not a practical thing to do. The situation was much more serious. That what they had to do was to put the government in the position of partially owning the banks. That has now happened. I'm not sure that the new Treasury team has quite absorbed the lessons that the old Treasury team learned by hard experience, but we'll see. And the other is that the Federal Reserve had basically nationalized the commercial paper market, which is a major source of liquidity for American business,
mm-hmm.
taken the entire market to several trillion dollars onto its balance sheet and done a number of other very interesting things, like lending $600 billion to the Europeans and others to support their currencies. So those are major transactions which are not don't have to be authorized by Congress. They're basically asset swaps of one kind or another, and the Federal Reserve has been doing those.
Now, Professor, you just mentioned something that's news to me. I didn't know that we transferred money to European banks from our Fed.
Oh, yes, we did. We have something called a currency swap agreement. One of the things that happened in the late fall was that European banks, which had made many loans in dollars to dodgy borrowers in Central Europe and elsewhere, and had financed those loans by borrowing at very low interest in New York, discovered that their borrowers had failed, basically, and the currencies in which they operated were falling very rapidly, so they couldn't get the dollars to pay back the loans. And so those banks were having trouble repaying the dollars that they owed to New York, to American banks. The only way they could get them was for the European Central Bank to borrow dollars from the Federal Reserve in exchange for euro, and then lend those on to the national banks in Europe. And that has gone on at a very, very, very big scale. And it's going to be a very interesting problem when those swaps mature in April, because I don't think anybody can say that they will be repaid, and they may simply have to be extended, which means that we've made a very big loan, which may never get repaid.
And let me just concede, I've confessed this to other economists, Professor. I hit the wall in Econ 101. But if you could help me understand, does this have anything to do with the strengthening of the dollar against the euro and the pound? I was stunned the other day. I saw an item that the pound sterling has dropped to $1.39.
It has everything to do with it, and I have friends who believe that the pound is heading down much more sharply, perhaps even to one-to-one. What has happened, you see, is that if a British bank has borrowed in New York in order to lend in, let's say, Budapest, and then cannot get the money back, the dollars back from Budapest, in order to find dollars, it has to sell pounds. So that's going to reduce the value of the pound and raise the value of the dollar. The same was happening in Switzerland. The same was happening on the European continent with the euro. So it's a very big phenomenon.
Well, then, in your estimation, I'm not asking you to predict the future of these turbulent markets, but do we stand a chance here to see long-term this economic turbulence actually leave the dollar stronger than it was 6 months ago?
I think that is the case now. I think it's likely to continue to be the case. And the basic reason for that is that the dollar remains a safe haven. U.S. Treasury bonds and bills do not default. The same cannot be said for sure of the bonds and bills of, let's say, the government of Ireland or Spain or Greece, or maybe even Italy. And so the investment community in a crisis is going to want dollars rather than Europe. However, this is not a good thing. This is something which is going to kill our export industries, which until this year were the major source of strength in the economy. So it is compounding the general economic calamity that we are facing. And anything that could be done to keep the dollar from rising would be very sensible.
Wow. These are unusual times because, of course, we would always want our currency to be stronger. But as you just pointed out, because of the globalization of the last 15 years and the dependence that we have on exports and the huge trade deficit that we have primarily with China, secondarily with oil producing nations, we have to hope that the dollar doesn't get too strong because it'll screw us that way.
Yeah, you don't always want the dollar to be stronger. You don't want it to be falling continuously because that gives you an inflation problem. But you want it to have a price which allows your export industries to continue to hold their market share in world markets.
Professor Jamie Galbraith is our guest from the University of Texas at Austin. He's also a columnist for Mother Jones Magazine. Check out the column he published in the current issue called Stimulus is for Suckers. Now, you make a number of interesting proposals here, and I'm in agreement with almost all of them. One is, you say, first we must fix housing. And I've been critical of the efforts to date because they're not addressing the troubled mortgages. They're not helping us find the bottom of the real estate equity market. And as long as that continues, we have a very skittish situation where sellers aren't sure if we've hit bottom and therefore don't know what price they can command. And buyers are afraid to purchase a home in today's market because they may feel that it will be worth less in 6 months and they'll be underwater like so many other troubled borrowers who are out there today. So what is the correct approach to remove the virus of the toxic mortgages, including the Alt-A's that haven't and the option arms that haven't really hit the fan so far?
Well, mortgages are going to have to be renegotiated. They're going to have to be reset on terms favorable to homeowners so that people can stay in their homes. The task here is to keep the housing stock intact and to keep people in their houses as much as possible. It is not possible to support or regulate the price at which a house sells. That's an entirely private transaction between a seller and a buyer, and whatever they agree upon is what's going to be the case. So long as we have a vast overhang of foreclosed houses on the market, the prices are going to be under tremendous downward pressure. And this exact situation you described, where the buyers are going to wait until the sellers get even more desperate than they are, will prevent the market from clearing. So, as I said, we have to renegotiate mortgages, and that means we're going to have to realize the losses that the people who hold the mortgage-backed instruments have incurred but have not yet been willing to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And that has, very serious implications for our understanding of the solvency of major banks that were engaged in this subprime and Alt-A industry. They got themselves in to an activity on a massive scale that was intrinsically abusive, that was basically fraudulent. The government is going to have to recognize this fact, take the assets at a deeply, deeply discounted price, and reorganize the banking institution, which means the leadership's going to have to change, the regulatory structure's going to have to change.
And you propose a throwback to the 1930s called the Homeowners Loan Corporation, and that seems sensible to me. It would be a place to facilitate the restructuring of loans, and people have described bankruptcy court as a possible venue for that as well. Do you think that we also need a modern version of the Homestead Act? Because we have so many unoccupied units, those are dragging down the prices in those communities, and if we can incentivize people to move into those homes, buy them on a long-term long-term basis, maybe even retrofit them for the green future. That could be a win-win scenario, and it may be really necessary because so many of these subdivisions and communities are 50, 70% vacant already.
Well, of course, in some areas where you've got subdivisions that were not economically sensible to begin with, that were 70 or 80 miles away from where people work, I'm afraid you are going to see ghost towns, and it's going to be very hard to undo that. In others, where you have viable units that are vacant and that are affecting the home valuations in the community, an entity like the Homeowners Loan Corporation can take possession of those units and rent them out, and that's what it should do. I don't know that there's a need for yet another legal mechanism, because once you have an agency which is in charge of trying to keep people in their homes on sustainable terms, in some cases the appropriate way to do that is to restructure a mortgage. In other cases, it may be to take the house and convert it to a rental unit and supervise and manage it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about an HOLC is that it's a very big operation. In the Depression, it had 20,000 employees to handle 1 million mortgages.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of people being laid off by banks and mortgage companies who know that territory. We're going to take a break and return. Professor James Galbraith with us, University of Texas at Austin, and also a columnist for Mother Jones Magazine. Read his piece called Stimulus is for Suckers. It's in the magazine, probably online, too, at motherjones.com. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We have an animal on the road on the northbound 101 just south of San Miguel Canyon Road. And in Santa Cruz, we have a traffic hazard on Oak Avenue at Hermosa Avenue. We also have a report of an accident at Highway 17 just north of Laurel Road. And still in Santa Cruz on the southbound 1 at Vista Point, look out for the pedestrian standing at the entrance of the off-ramp. In weather, today is mostly cloudy with lots of intermittent showers. We've got highs in the lower 60s to mid-50s and north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, we're going to have more showers with lows around 50 degrees. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Fox News anchors wasted no time jumping on Barack Obama, questioning his legitimacy as president after Chief Justice John Roberts fumbled the words of his presidential oath of office.
I have to say, I'm not sure that Barack Obama really is the president of the United States, because the oath of office is set in the Constitution. And I wasn't at all convinced that even after he tried to amend it, that John Roberts ever got it out straight and that Barack Obama ever said the prescribed words.
Is he really president?
Yes.
Is he really president?
He really is president.
Because there was a flub in the oath of office. There was a flub by Chief Justice Roberts. I'm sure he wants this moment back, by the way, but now it's in tape and history forever, where he screwed up the word faithfully, at least the order of it.
Of course, while experts on Fox later noted the oath of office is merely ceremonial, Fox News may have set a record for the shortest media honeymoon in presidential history. For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking with James K. Galbraith, a professor of economics and chair of the, oh no, he sits in the Lloyd Benson chair at the LBJ School of Public Affairs. That's at the University of Texas at Austin. And let me punch this button here, and we've got him back. And Professor Galbraith, one of your colleagues, Robert Auerbach, has been on our program a few times since we got into this financial turbulence. He really seems to know a lot about the Federal Reserve and the banking system. He served with Henry Gonzalez as a staffer there in the old banking committee in the House of Representatives. You guys in cahoots?
Oh, well, absolutely. Bob and I were colleagues on the staff of the Banking Committee in 1975, 76.
Uh-huh.
So we've been in cahoots for many years.
Okay. I didn't know that part of your history about the Banking Committee.
But he was a devout follower of Milton Friedman at the time, so we had some differences of view, but we've converged.
Oh, interesting. Now, in your article in Mother Jones, you talk about backstopping state and local governments, and I think this is a really essential part of working through these problems, because the ripple effect here in California alone of reduction in services, we have a refusal of Republicans to raise taxes. Grover Norquist is essentially dictating that to the state of California, and I resent it. But we're in a real pickle, and we're not going to be able to tax our way out of it or even cut our way out of it. We really do need some bailout from the feds.
This is true across the country, although more true for the bigger states than perhaps for some of the smaller ones. And the right approach in the crisis is to say to states and localities, don't cut your services. In fact, allow them to grow to meet the demands that you have. So don't lay off your personnel. Continue with your mission. I would say don't raise your taxes because that's economically counterproductive, but don't cut them either because that would be gaming the system. And let the federal government fill the gap for the duration of the crisis. So have an open-ended commitment to stabilize the state and local public sector.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously not something that can continue indefinitely because ultimately you want to have the flexibility to change services and to change the pattern of taxation. But for the time of the crisis, the important thing is not to have mass layoffs and service cutbacks that are only going to make every other economic problem in the retail sector, the housing sector, and everywhere else worse.
Now, you also offer a proposal novel to me here that we need to support the incomes of the elderly. A lot of them have seen their savings, their retirement funds cut by 40% or more. What's the best way and the fairest way that we can help seniors cope with this economic downturn?
Well, clearly you can't make good everybody's losses in the stock market on an individual basis. But the idea would be, first of all, to make sure that nobody falls into poverty. And secondly, to restore to the extent possible the purchasing power of the elderly as a group, which could be down as much as $200, $300 billion, a couple of percent of GDP, as a result of the losses in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
The simple, straightforward, fair way to do that is to raise the basic benefits in Social Security. And I would raise them substantially and basically recognize that this whole experiment that we've had of putting a large part of the burden of providing for retirement onto the stock market hasn't worked,
mm-hmm.
isn't going to work. It's a situation which leaves too many people out in the cold, caught in a down market with much of what they had expected to retire on basically gone a-glimmering.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have to rely on the public system, and Social Security is a very effective and efficient social insurance system.
And if we raise those benefits, is it going to cause problems down the road? Are we going to have to raise the retirement age? Probably going to have to do that anyway.
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't do it. Raising the retirement age is a very regressive measure, which basically cuts benefits on those who need to retire early, which
mm-hmm.
is to say people who've led the hardest working lives, the low-income blue-collar workers who actually work hard, some of us.
Let me pause there. I want to jump to a caller here. Steven Salinas has a question for you, Professor. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I was wondering, what would be wrong with nationalizing the banks rather than having the bankers, you know, do their games of, you know, exploiting the small businesses, the small countries, and the, you know, the individual citizens of the country?
Well, I think we're on a road to nationalizing the banks. What do you say, Professor?
Well, first of all, some banks already have been nationalized. Andy Mack was taken over by the federal government when it failed. The issue we have now is whether certain other banks, very large banks, have suffered such severe losses that they are insolvent, in which case it is standard practice for the federal government, for the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, to take them over. They become federal deposit bridge banks, and the government comes in with a team of regulators and tries to basically restructure the bank. And what that means is that the bad assets are isolated, put in a separate facility, which in the savings and loan crisis was called the Resolution Trust Corporation. The common shareholders and the subordinated debt holders, those who have put up risk capital, lose it. They took a risk, and it turned out their investment went bad. That's how the system works. And then the bank is basically is recapitalized. It has it is given new leadership. The senior management, which was responsible for the crisis, basically has to get out of the industry. Basically, you put the middle management in charge, people who have a long-term perspective and who are willing and able to take direction.
Professor, I've got to stop there. Our time has run, but I thank you for joining us. James Galbraith from the University of Texas at Austin. Read his column in Mother Jones Magazine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the Internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the Internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your Internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It was nearly unanimous.
94 members having voting aye and 2 members having voted nay. The nomination is confirmed.
Hillary Clinton won Senate confirmation this afternoon and was quickly sworn in as the nation's top diplomat. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
There was never any doubt Hillary Clinton would receive overwhelming support from fellow senators to be confirmed as Secretary of State, but it was delayed. Half a dozen cabinet members, including Secretaries of Education, Energy, and Homeland Security, were okayed by voice vote just hours after yesterday's inaugural. But Texas Republican John Cornyn delayed Clinton's confirmation, insisting on a debate, even after many other Republicans, including John McCain, complained.
Two newspapers report Caroline Kennedy has withdrawn her name from consideration for Clinton's Senate seat. According to the New York Post, Governor David Patterson had decided on Kennedy. A do-over for President Obama because Chief Justice John Roberts mangled the oath of office at yesterday's ceremony. The White House says he swore Mr. Obama in a second time today out of an abundance of caution. After just a few hours' sleep, the new president hit the ground running. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports.
He signed orders today tightening ethics rules for government employees and gave his new staff instructions on what it means to do government service.
It's not about advantaging yourself. It's not about advancing your friends or your corporate clients. The American people are really counting on us now.
He welcomed his new White House team one by one, then did the same for 200 lucky members of the public who, after signing up on the Internet, were invited to an open house.
Enjoy yourself, Roma. Don't bring anything.
Late afternoon, Mr. Obama turned to his top priority, meeting with his economic team to strategize on getting his $825 billion stimulus package through Congress.
CBS News has confirmed that President Obama will sign an executive order to close the Guantanamo Bay Detention Center within a year. Treasury Secretary-designate Tim Geithner went before the Senate Finance Committee today, insisting that his failure to pay $34,000 in taxes was an honest mistake.
I want to apologize to the committee for putting you in the position of having to spend so much time on these issues when there is so much pressing business before the country.
He's expected to be confirmed. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the U.S. Navy in the Red Sea has intercepted an Iranian chartered ship suspected of trying to smuggle weapons to Hamas in the Gaza Strip.
The boarding party went on the Iranian chartered vessel on Monday. They did a random search of some of the crates. There was one crate labeled hazardous material, and they found inside that crate some artillery shells.
The United States is asking Egypt to stop the ship for a more thorough search. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Peyton Manning. What could be better than the Gear Up with Sony HD sales event? I'm not sure, but I'll try to top it by handing out some of my own gear. Hey there, little fella.
Hi, Mr. Manning.
How about a practice jersey?
But, Mr. Manning, it's so wet.
Why, yes, little fella. Yes, it is.
Ew!
Well, looks like Gear Up with Sony HD is the best way to go. Get a great deal when you buy a Bravia HD TV and Blu-ray disc player together.
I don't think I want this.
Bring it out. It's just a little sweat.
It's gross!
Now through January 24th, save between $300 and $400 when you purchase a Sony Bravia HD TV with motion flow technology and a select Sony Blu-ray disc player together. Enjoy your favorite fast action sports and movies in full HD 1080p quality with smoother motion and a sharper picture. To learn more about motion flow and how you can save up to $400 on a Sony Bravia HD TV and Sony Blu-ray disc player, visit a participating Sony dealer or sony.com/HDNA.
Hollywood knows what we like, so it's no coincidence that the movie Marley and Me is about a yellow lab. CBS News correspondent Harley Carnes reports on America's top dog.
Your favorite pedigreed dog is the Labrador Retriever.
It is pretty amazing how this breed is sort of holding on to its position as America's dog year after year.
Daisy Okus at the American Kennel Club says also on the most popular list were Yorkshire Terrier, German Shepherd, Golden Retriever, Beagle, Boxer, Dachshund, Bulldog, the Poodle, and the Shih Tzu. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
A lost dog is to blame for a sunken Buick. A man in Port Huron Township, Michigan, was looking for his dog when he parked his car on the frozen Black River to continue the search on foot. He left the engine running but locked himself out and could only stand there helplessly as heat from the exhaust pipe melted the ice. What's worse, the 1994 Buick was a loaner the man was using while his own car was in the shop. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
With Medicare Part D, you'll pay about the same copay anywhere. No wonder seniors are choosing America's most trusted pharmacy, Walgreens. There's no more shopping around for price, so join the millions by transferring your prescriptions to Walgreens. Just bring in your bottles, and they'll do the rest. Not only will you get great service and convenience at Walgreens, you'll also feel safer knowing you have just one pharmacy helping you manage all your medicines. Walgreens accepts most Medicare Part D plans.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I design and sell my very own line of baby clothes. When I started my business, I knew how to make the baby clothes, but I didn't really know the business side of things. And it became very clear that I needed help. So I'd heard about Intuit QuickBooks, you know, that small business software, and thought, that's just what I need. Then I saw I could try it for free, and you know what? It's been great, totally easy to use, and it's helped me avoid a lot of growing pains.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's day one of the Obama administration. What are you thinking? This is the Free Speech Zone, the entire hour set aside for your phone calls on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh,
song from Buddy Miles and Carlos Santana. My mind going through them changes. I feel better. Oh, life's not perfect. Obama's not going to make me happy every day. But he made me happy today, following through on the executive order to close Guantanamo Bay and deal squarely with the issues there. Not some sleight of hand, not some gamesmanship, not look over here, Guantanamo's closed, don't look over here, we move the prisoners to another location. No, he's going to take it head on. Those who deserve to be charged will be charged. Many more will be released. 24 inmates at Guantanamo have been released in the last 3 months alone by the Bushies. He also ordered a stop to the tribunals. Just put them on ice. Put them on hold. And that may disappoint Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his death wish, his desire to be a martyr. But somehow I think we'll get around to that, Khalid. So I want to open up the phones and hear from you this hour. Yesterday we gave you extensive coverage of the inaugural events, commentary from a lot of our favorite progressive voices. And today I want to hear from you. All my lines are open. You know the number, 888-573-8372. Jake, I got your letter. I know you're out there. I've been missing Jake. Jake from Eureka, one of our best informed, most articulate callers, has somehow been on hiatus. But he sent me a snail mail letter that I got last week, so I know you're out there listening on KGOE, Jake. Favor me with a phone call today and tell me your attitude about the incoming Obama administration. Dave and Eureka, you've been quiet too. The last time I heard from Dave, I noticed an air of despondence, a sense that he feels disappointment already in Barack Obama over accountability for Bush. Hey, that's justified. So, Dave, if you're out there, I'd love to hear from you. And Alice in Eureka, one of our most senior listeners, a voice I always love to hear. Why don't you give us a call today, Alice, and tell me what you think about day one of the Obama administration. Now, the whole thing about day one was a theme from the Hillary Clinton for President campaign. And she must be pleased that the Senate confirmed her as Secretary of State here on day one so she can go to work. That creates the opening in the Senate seat in New York. Caroline Kennedy today bowed out, relieving me of the angst over dynasty politics. And hey, there's a job open in New York. It pays, $180,000 a year? I don't know what a senator makes now, $160,000, something like that. So if you want a carpet bag to New York, it's been done before. If you know the governor, you got an inside track. That's the way to do it. So this hour is set aside for your comments. You've heard mine. I'm happy to extend more, but I'd love to hear from you. Get on your soapbox, get on your iPhone, get on your whatever it is, and call me toll-free at 888-573-8372. Let's start off with one of my favorite stalwart supporters of this program. It's Dave in Eureka. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Peter. One of the things that's been going through my head is I had expected that Bush would be pardoning Grove and Cheney and all the worst of his offenders.
I spent all day yesterday scouring the web, waiting for it to surface, that the little note he left in the desk for Obama was a pardon letter, but it appears that he ended his limited streak of mercy with the commutation of the two Border Patrol officers who murdered a suspect who was running the other way. They shot him in the back. And that was a real cause celeb among conservative, seal the border nut jobs. But he stopped there, and to my knowledge, there have been no additional pardons, no last-minute pardons that went out on Inauguration Day.
Well, Alice is still active, and she listens to the program, and she goes to do a sing-along a couple of days a week. And she wants to call you again, and she's slowed down a bit.
Okay. Well, you tell her she's always welcome to call, and I always love hearing from her.
Yeah, I will do that.
And Dave, in general, are you feeling okay? Because, as I said, the last time I talked to you, you seemed, disappointed in advance.
Well, the question in my mind then was that has the country been harmed so badly over the last several years that even a really well-motivated administration, can they really change it and turn it around? And your guest felt, yes, it can be done. We've done it before, and we can do it again.
Well, Dave, I'm a little mixed about that, because I do believe that we're going to stop the affirmative damage, okay? We don't have a Secretary of Interior who is going to support blindly the resource extractors and leave office to become a lobbyist for them. So the most egregious excesses will stop. But we still have not heard diddly from Obama about extraordinary rendition, about presidential signing statements, and some of the other expansions, unconstitutional in my view, of presidential power engineered by Dick Cheney.
Well, it's got to be some improvement. You don't get worse than what we've been through for the last few years. But, you know, for one thing, is he going to actually try to put in a health care plan that will be single-payer in effect by offering the option of Medicare?
Mm-hmm.
He's been saying that he plans that.
Well, no. He's never said single-payer. I do think that almost by default, in order to expand coverage to a 90 or 95% level, that there are simply too many people who can't afford commercial coverage. And I do believe that there will be some option offered for people to join Medicare, make it Medicare for All, or some other form of national health insurance. But I do think he's pretty committed to retaining the private insurance system, at least for the foreseeable future, because one of the lessons learned from the Hillary Clinton effort at health care reform was that people don't want to give up what they have. Many people are afraid, even if they don't get everything they want from Blue Cross or Health Net or whoever they're signed up with, they are afraid to switch because they think it'll get worse. And so I do think that we're going to have to evolve into single payer. And I can't say that Obama is an outspoken advocate for single payer. When he was a state senator in Illinois, he initially backed single payer. And then the healthcare advocates in Illinois I've talked to tell me that he disappointed them and ultimately did not support a single payer system. So that's something that will remain to be seen, and that's why I said that I'm delighted at the executive order to close Gitmo and end the tribunals, and on my scoreboard he's batting 1,000. It's not going to last, Dave.
Well, you know, I think his express plan has been to add Medicare as an option for everyone, and that would be so much more cost-effective.
Right, and it would head us in the right direction, because ultimately I want a single-payer system. I want to squeeze the insurance companies out, because they're the source of a lot of the inflation and cost and a lot of the excess profit that is being taken out of the healthcare delivery system. Dave, thanks a lot for calling. I'm glad you checked in, and I'm glad you're still listening.
Thank you for all that you do, Peter.
Give my love to Alice, will you?
Right. Yes, we'll do.
Alice is not Dave's girlfriend, by the way. She lives down the hall. Let's see. Up next, I've got to change my screen here. It's Margie calling from Oregon. Welcome, Margie.
Hi, B2B. I thought you might get a kick out of my cartoon that I created for today.
All right.
It's called The Day After,
mm-hmm.
And a woman is lying down with a look of ecstasy on her face and smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
And the husband says, "Honey, I thought you quit smoking." And she says, "I'm basking in the afterglow of Obama's inauguration."
And you think Barack got a cigarette in yesterday?
Oh, I bet he did.
I bet the tabs have a six-figure reward out for the first paparazzi who gets a shot of Obama with a cigarette.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Yep.
That'll garner more than the shirtless shot in Hawaii.
Right. Well, now that's another cartoon. Actually, I hadn't called you about. So picture the White House, and he's in some upstairs location with the window open, and he's blowing the smoke out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Because, he's not supposed to smoke in the White House.
Right, yeah. Well, there's that smoking porch where Bush and his Saudi brother Bandar went after 9/11 and smoked cigars. You remember that?
No, I don't.
Yeah, there's a photo. I don't know that Bush smoked cigars, but he went out there and Bandar had one.
Oh, okay. So that's their smoking section, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. It's a little balcony that faces the Rose Garden, the backside of the White House.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sure that, you know, the bowling alley, there's that secret tunnel out to Pennsylvania Avenue.
Right, yes.
And I'm sure there are plenty of pot smokers out there who could give him tips.
Where to go.
On how to sneak a smoke when you need one. All right, Margie, okay. Thanks for checking in today. Good to
You're
hear
welcome.
From you. 888-5 Peter B. And by the way, I still have a stack of Bush bashing books right over here next to me. Anybody who calls the program and says, I want a book, you get one. It's that simple. Join me in the free speech zone this hour. Your comments are welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. 888-5 Peter B. is the toll-free number. 888-573-8372. And tomorrow, I'll be sitting in for Tom Hartman in his second and third hours on the national program. Looking forward to it. You're listening to KRXA 540.
And now taken the presidential oath.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero & Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
We all know the economy is experiencing some rough times, but some people seem to thrive even in tougher times than this. Want to own their secrets for yourself? Now you can dissolve away your own barriers and blocks to prosperity and success in life despite negative circumstances. Attend a very special transformational two-day event in beautiful Asilomar. The Monterey Center, your one stop for mind, body, spirit wellness, proudly presents How to Prosper and Flourish with international personal transformation and success leader Rinaldo R. Robles, coming to the Monterey Peninsula in Asilomar for 2 days only on Saturday, January 31st and February 1st, 2009. Seating is limited. Call now to 831-641-9812 to reserve your ticket to success at Inspiring Asilomar Conference Grounds today. Call 831-641-9812. That number again, 641-9812.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Good evening, everybody. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Santa Cruz on the SoCal Drive on-ramp to the northbound 1, we have a traffic collision with no further details. And also in Santa Cruz, we still have that traffic hazard on Oak Avenue at Hermosa Avenue. CHP is now on the scene there. In weather, the skies are a little murky right now. We've got temperatures in the 50s along the coast and in the inland valleys. expect more showers this evening and for temperatures to be around the low 40s to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more showers are likely and temperature highs will be in the upper 50s. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a safe commute. The Peter B. Collins Show is coming right back.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We didn't give up.
In this proud land, we grew up strong. We were wanted all along. I was taught to fight, taught to win. I never thought I could fail. No fight left, or so it seems. I am a man whose dreams have all deserted. I've changed my face, I've changed my name.
Minutes into the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. More of your calls coming up straight ahead here in the Free Speech Zone. You can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And just a few minutes ago, I got a press release from the California Republican Party, and spokesperson Hector Barajas joins us on the line right now. Hector, hi.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's a pleasure to be on your show.
So I'm really struck by this press release that you sent out. It reads, yoga and aerobic classes for prisoners with your tax dollars, all right? And this is a screed against Clark Kelso, who is the federally appointed, federal court-appointed receiver who's in charge of the health care system in the California state prisons. And I don't understand why you are raising issues about this at a time when California is facing a bankruptcy or a kind of financial meltdown, because bankruptcy legally isn't an option for us, and why you would try to distract people over the issues of the prison health care receiver when the Republicans are using minority rule and their loyalty to Grover Norquist to block a resolution to our budget problems. I find this just really bizarre.
Well, one of the things that struck me, Peter, was I ended up reading the report put forth by Mr. Kelso, and in looking at the report...
It's Kelso.
Kelso, apologize. Uh-huh. I looked over the report, and I found kind of some of the recommendations. Now, I understand it is a prison. I also understand that it's a hospital prison. And one of the things that I looked at was this type of feng shui-type landscaping, recreation rooms, therapy kitchens, at the same time, handball courts, yoga and aerobics classes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it ended up being, and kind of the way I read it was, I don't know if you're familiar with Pimp My Ride, but it would seem like a Pimp My Prison. And
Hector, what does this have to do with the most important challenge we face right now, which is really getting a budget here in California? The receiver is not dealing with the legislature, okay?
The receiver is dealing with the legislature right now because they're in court. They're in court with the governor's office. They're in court with the legislative members. They're in court right now. And the,
right.
I think the biggest
and the fundamental reason for this is that inmates are dying on a weekly basis in the prison system in California because of the substandard health care that we deliver.
So,
and that's part of that is part of the big picture of California's budget problem.
So,
but instead of dealing with the overcrowding in the prisons, instead of dealing with the high pay given the prison guards in sweetheart deals with two governors, Davis and Schwarzenegger, you're going to focus on the fact that a federal receiver is proposing yoga for prisoners?
Peter, so you're basically telling me because we've got a $40 billion deficit right now, we've got some of the highest dropout rates in the entire nation, where we've got some of our Latino kids in Los Angeles where only 39.1% of them graduate from high school with a standard high school degree in 40 years, it's okay for the state or the receiver at this point to spend $8 billion of our tax money for these yoga classes, these therapeutic kitchens.
Hector, you know how selective you are being, okay? Yoga classes don't cost money. All right, I go to yoga every week, okay? If you have a yoga instructor and a group of people, it doesn't cost anything. So you're simply cherry-picking information in this report. You're trying to pander to people who think that prisons are luxury zones, and you're trying to distract people from the fact that Grover Norquist holds the loyalty of the Republican legislators who are using their power because of the two-thirds budget requirement to block any reasonable resolution of the budget with revenue increases. Well, and this is stupid, Hector. Why are you trying to distract people?
With all due respect,
yes.
It is $8 billion that they want to spend. They want to build prison hospitals. Now, each one being three times the size of Walmart. And within these hospitals, these are some of the programs listed in his report.
And Hector, if you want a real resolution to the problem, come up with ways to reduce the population. More than 40% of the inmates in the California state prison system are nonviolent offenders. Yet the Republicans won't allow any move for early paroles, for having people serve their sentences in the community. The governor himself raised the prospect a year ago, and no Republican would support him on that.
So are we also talking about maybe streamlining some of the death penalties and making sure that we now implement that particular program? We can save ourselves on population there, too.
I don't support the death penalty. There are only 600 people on death row, Hector.
Again,
you are cherry-picking issues to distract people from the failure of the Republicans to act responsibly in the face of the most serious budget crisis in California. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Now, honestly, Peter, we've got the legislature, which is controlled by the Democrats. They also control the committee assignments for every single committee.
That's irrelevant.
Is that correct or not?
The point is that your members won't vote for revenue increases. It's that simple.
If we're looking at what is happening in the state of California...
Hector, I've got to take a break. We'll resume in a moment, okay?
Perfect.
If you can hold on, continue.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
What would life be without flowers? It would be like a birthday cake with no candles, a wedding with no ring. It would be like a graduation without friends and relatives, a promotion without a raise. Thankfully, life is full of flowers and reasons to give them. In fact, sometimes the best reason is no reason at all. And all you have to do is stop by or call Ferrari Florists and Gifts. You see, flowers from Ferrari Florists and Gifts are more personal and special because whatever you're celebrating, we can create unique arrangements from a wide selection of fresh-cut flowers, and we can deliver them the same day. So you can enjoy life and even declare your love with flowers. Call Ferrari Florists and Gifts today at 460-7000 or visit our website at www.ferrariflorist.com. And we'll help you realize the true potential of flowers. Ferrari Florists and Gifts, 514 Front Street, Santa Cruz. Experts in the art of expression.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Who can take California? Set it on its ear. Stop it in its tracks, take it out of gear. The girly man,
the girly man,
the girly man can,
the girly man can,
the girly man can, cause he messes with my mind and makes my world a pain in the you know what. Who can take a budget?
Who can take a budget?
Put it all askew.
Put it all askew.
Bow to special interests and a lobbyist or two. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open if you'd like to join me in the free speech zone. 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. We called up Hector Barajas. He sent me a press release from the communications office of the California Republican Party. And I find it really offensive, Hector, because you write in this, while Sacramento Democrats plot to take more money out of your pocket, we're learning that state government is about to spend our tax dollars on handball courts, aerobic and yoga classes, and special landscaping for prisoners. Now, those are technically true. They're in Clark Kelso's overall proposal.
So why are you offended?
Shut up. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I am offended because the real
it's in the report.
The real issue here is California is teetering on the edge of a financial meltdown. This issue coming out of the prisons is a long simmering problem because Sacramento has not provided the resources to provide adequate health care of even a third world nation level for those who are incarcerated.
You want to
use them as puppets so that you can attack the Democrats, when the real issue here is the failure of the Republicans to be responsible about the fiscal crisis here in California. And again, the Republicans are loyal to Grover Norquist, who doesn't even live here. And because he believes in the philosophy of low taxes, you are taking us to the brink over this whole gambit of trying to avoid raising taxes in the most serious financial crisis that we've faced in decades.
Well, Peter, you seem very obsessed with Grover there, but let's
But
you know what?
That's the real issue.
I think, you know what? I think we can find some common ground here.
Yeah.
First off, you've got right now every single legislator has the ability by which to introduce bills or pieces of legislation. Each one through a 2-year cycle costs about $10,000. Let's see how many legislators on both sides end up introducing bills and how much they cost. But at the same time, you've got Republican State Senator Abel Maldonado, who introduced a bill this past year that said, if we do not pass a budget on time, the legislators should not get the per diem, nor should they get paid. That was defeated by the Democrats in the Senate. It was put to bed.
And Hector, it's pocket change.
When it hurts them directly, and it says you will not get paid, you will not get per diem unless you do the job. We're in a $40 billion deficit.
But, Hector, the reason we didn't get a budget until September is because of the obstructionists and the minority rule practices of the Republicans. What the hell are you talking about?
Great. So let's have all your callers call in right now and say, and ask them, are you in favor of a 39-cent tax on the gallon of gasoline? Right now, whatever you're paying in San Francisco, it may be $2.10, $2.15 a gallon. Do you want that increased by 39 cents? Because that is one of the proposals being put forth by the Democrats.
And you know who embraces that? Tom Campbell, the former finance director to Governor Schwarzenegger, who is exploring a candidacy for governor in 2010.
Let's ask our callers if they support an increase of 39 cents per gallon of gasoline. At the same time, let's also ask them if they are supportive, because this was part of the same bill, to increase sales tax by 1.5 cents.
That's the governor's proposal.
This is also coming in from the Democrats.
They are acceding to the governor's proposal because of the obstructionists of your party, Hector. Don't you get it?
But let's ask your callers. Let's ask the audience there whether they want to see their gasoline increased by 39 cents.
Well, Hector, I'll take a call here in a moment, and I'll indulge you on that.
Yeah.
But you're simply trying to distract people from the failure of the Republicans, and it's approaching the criminal level. It was annoying before, okay? And it was irresponsible a couple of months ago. It's now criminal to take California down the tubes by proposing cuts-only budgets that will gut our education system, K-12 and higher education, cut back on investments. We've already stopped construction projects around the state, and that has a long-term impact. You and your party are doing serious damage to the future of California, and you're, of course, taking Arnold Schwarzenegger's image and his record as governor right into the tank.
Well, Peter, if you would allow me the ability to kind of provide a little bit more information, this particular week in the Sacramento Bee, you had a couple of Republicans who indicated, you know what, we seem to have a spending problem, but at the same time, it looks like this year we've got some sort of revenue problem. Now, here's been their suggestion, and one of the individuals quoted, and I can send you the article if you'd like, is Tony Strickland, and he indicated, first we need to look at where the state of California spends its money. There's audit reports being put on by the state auditor. There's about 139 people that work for that particular department. Today, they actually put together a summary of all their audits that they've done for the last 4 years and said, here are the recommendations that we've offered. Here's some of the ones that have been implemented that haven't been implemented. Let's find out how the government is spending its money and where it wasted its money. Then we need to look at where revenue sources are coming in, how they're being expanded, and at the same time, if we can cut and we're done cutting, then let's look at different options. And that's been the Republicans. You can't just come up and say, let's increase revenues when we still haven't fixed the problems of how we're spending our money.
Hector, you know, this is fine, okay? That's a reasonable approach. It sounds rational. But it's very late in the game to be really getting serious. The Republicans have been playing games over this budget for over a year now. And it's time for you and your cronies to stop this gamesmanship of trying to blame prisoners for the inaction of Republicans in Sacramento. It's that simple, Hector.
We've got a budget problem, but the thing is that unless we control the way we spend our money and account for that money. Look, the Department of Homeland Security after 2001, after 9/11, gave the state of California $944 million. To spend on upgrades for police and fire and so forth. They've only spent 42% of that money, and they're still trying to figure out where the rest of the money's at. This was part of that audit report.
But Hector, this is more distraction and fringe talk.
Okay.
It doesn't resolve the $41 billion shortfall over 18 months.
I think it does, and the reason for it is because if you look at the document, which is 68 pages long, and I can send you a summary because we actually read through the document and pointed out no commentary. It's just quote from one place to the other. You find there are billions of dollars that are just completely mismanaged. You do that year after year after year, and now you've got a problem.
Well, you just described $944 million, and then you shifted to billions of dollars, okay?
No, when you put it all together. When you put it all together.
Let's talk to Mark. Mark in Santa Cruz. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Hector Barajas. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Peter. I'm glad you're giving him a hard time there. Hey, Hector.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
You know, this stuff about inmates costing so much money because of their recreational equipment, the taxpayers do not pay for that. I did 8 years in the system, and they mark up the commissary products that they sell to inmates 25%, and that 25% goes to pay the salaries of the staff to handle it, and also buy things like a yoga mat.
And Mark, they also soak the families of inmates who can only talk to their loved ones by accepting collect calls at jacked up rates that are beyond obscene. It's like $2 a minute.
$4 a minute.
$4. Yeah. And the call costs a nickel a minute. You do the math. That money's going directly into the general fund.
$60 for a 15-minute phone call.
Yep.
Yeah, well, and there you go. I think Mark, you know, Mark said that jack up the price. You got, what, 25 times the actual cost. Well, where's that money going, and who is it being paid for? Are we once again, is the state of California, you know, once again purchasing toilet seats for $5,000 each one?
Yeah, well, just don't use the inmates that need something to do when you lock them up with your draconian sentences. They need something to keep themselves busy, or else you're going to have a bigger gang problem than you already have.
And Hector, by attacking the receiver, you are trying to, first of all, distract Californians from the real issues before us, and you are saying that the life of a California prisoner isn't worth much.
Actually, I'm not. And that's untrue, Peter.
Are you saying that you simply want the receiver to dial back on the yoga and some of these other things that you find extraneous, but you do want him to build a new hospital at prisons around the state, you do want him to pay the health care workers a living wage, and you do want prisoners to live. You don't want a sentence in prison to become a death sentence because of the health care system.
Here's what I would like. First off, it's a prison. Second off, there are certain programs. For example, having individuals be able to acquire their high school equivalency exam. There are some of these other skills by which they can learn, but at the same time, when you start providing, I don't even know what a therapeutic kitchen is that they try to explain in that they put forth in this report. There are some things that just seem a little beyond.
Right.
I mean,
Hector,
so that no longer it feels like a prison.
Hector,
but it is a prison.
The central issue here is that the healthcare system in California prisons kills inmates. They die on a regular basis. The population is aging because the legislature and the governor refuse to release these aging lifers, 69-year-old guys who've been in for 25 years, who are not a risk to anybody, but because you're afraid of the politics of releasing prisoners, you just keep locking them up and keep paying the bill. And this is all a distraction from the central issue of the California budget crisis. Chris in Salinas. Chris, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I didn't know if it was all about prisons or not, but there's other forms of revenue generation, such as getting the oil companies to pay for the oil leases. And then back when they lowered the DME fees, now don't get me wrong, I don't want to pay a lot of DME fees, but that law specified that in hard times, those DMV fees returned back to where they were. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he was elected, said he wouldn't do that because Gray Davis was going to do that. So
well, the
a
whole
couple forms right there.
How about
closing the loopholes for all these corporations and make them pay their fair share? And then, you know, you Republicans won't even meet halfway. You won't even look at a situation where that is dire and say, okay, well, here's a $100 tax we're going to do. Okay, we'll do 50. You won't even come across the aisle. You won't even reach across the aisle. You won't even come through to the middle point.
Here's the middle point for the Republicans right now. Let's find out where the money's being spent. Let's cut the fraud. Let's cut the waste. Let's make sure that if we're spending $100 of your dollars, your tax money, to buy toilet seats, let's make sure we're not buying them at 25 times the cost. Let's make sure we're buying them at cost or you know, granted, what we would be able to get them over at Home Depot or somewhere else.
Now, Hector,
once we do that, then let's start looking at other, you know, let's look at other forms.
Hector, this has been the dodge for ages. Whenever there's a budget shortfall, we talk about all the waste and fraud that we're going to cut.
So that's
fine, okay? But you cannot cut waste and fraud to cover a $41 billion gap. And once again, you are using red herrings and distraction to avoid the central question, and that is Republicans are irresponsible and they are not living up to their oath to the people of California to discharge their duties in the best interest of the state. They're playing politics in the worst possible way.
And Peter, how is it not protecting the best interest of Californians when you're trying to look at and eliminate the fraud and waste that occurs within this?
Because it's not enough to solve the problem, and
why
because
not
you
take
can
care
you
of
can
it first?
because it's too late in the game.
How is it too late in the game? We just started the year.
If this were last March and Republicans were working on that, I'd say fine, ferret out
Peter,
the waste and fraud.
We are
running out of money in February, Hector.
Peter,
don't you get the message?
Peter, the thing is that this fraud and waste is year after year.
But it is
year.
Not
it
enough to close the gap.
It does not happen.
And this is a rhetorical game you're playing, and it's pointless.
And it occurs for next year. The thing is,
all right, one more call. Stan in Blue Lake, you're next here. Go ahead, Stan.
Hi. I called with a few simple words, Peter. I would be happy to accept a 39-cent increase per gallon of gas to quiet this man. And I'll say goodbye.
Okay. Hector, I'm going to give you the last word. You got 30 seconds.
Well, Stan, appreciate the call, and, you know, and to everyone else. And, Peter, you know, having these type of discussions is very healthy. And at the same time, I think Republicans are willing to come to the table and have a negotiation. And part of the negotiation needs to be, how are we spending this money? Is it going in the right places? At the same time, can we be held accountable, or should we be held accountable for the way the government's spending the money? Once that's done, as some Republicans have already indicated this past week, and I'll send you that article, you know, they said, look, there are places that we need to look. We're having some sort of revenue problems right now, but let's eliminate this fraud and waste, and then let's move forward from there.
All right. It's still a distraction. It won't close the gap, and you've got to step up and approach the fundamental problem here. We need more revenue. Yes, we can achieve some closure with cuts, but we can't cut our way to a balanced budget, and we've got to make smart cuts so that we do not really hurt ourselves for years to come by failing to invest in infrastructure and education. And that's where the all-cuts Republican budget really sucks, Hector. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. We'll talk again.
All right, Peter.
Hector Barajas from the California Republican Party. I hope they pay him a lot. And I hope he never winds up in state prison. We've got room for more of your calls as the free speech zone continues. Shall we raise your taxes, friends? 888-5-PETER-B. That's my number. Use it.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good evening, everybody. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Monterey on Murphy Road at County Road G11, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. And taking a look at Santa Cruz, we have a traffic hazard on the northbound one just south of State Park Drive. There is a stalled vehicle in lane number 2. We also have a pair of traffic collisions happening right now. The first one is on the Soquel Drive on-ramp to the northbound 1. And on Highway 129, just west of Lakeview Road, we have a 2-vehicle collision with no injuries. In weather, right now it's cloudy out there with temperatures in the mid to upper 50s. Expect more showers tonight and for temperatures to drop down into the low 50s. Well, that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great evening, everyone, and stay with the Peter B. Cullen Show.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath.
Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show with a shout-out to our late-night listeners on our San Francisco outlet, Green 960. And about now, Dylan should be driving to Muffin Mania to fire up the ovens. Muffin Mania in San Rafael celebrating its 26th anniversary. And they're offering free muffins this Friday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. Tell them you heard it from Peter B.
And take two, they're good.
And we're taking your calls here in the Free Speech Zone. William in Santa Cruz, you're next. Hi, William.
Hi, Peter. That 39-cent tax on the gas, that's actually a good idea. Hey, look, let's make it $1.50. We can include insurance coverage for all drivers automatically. It can go into an insurance fund for the state so that when you buy gas in the state of California, you're just automatically insured.
Including people who don't have a driver's license or proper documentation but drive anyway.
Precisely. Yeah. And the thing is that the oil companies, they are going to manipulate the price. It's down now, but it is going to go back up. And we thought we were aghast at $4.50 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are heading for $5-6 a gallon.
Yeah.
So
the only thing about that is it is an onerous tax on people who work and need to drive to work. You think of a construction worker with an old Explorer that only gets 14 miles to the gallon. He has to drive 50 miles each way to work. It hits them hardest. But I do think of the alternatives out there. The sales tax that Schwarzenegger has proposed is regressive, and they simply won't face the reality that this is the moment, with property values declining for the first time really in history, to rewrite Proposition 13 in a way that doesn't force people out of their homes, but doesn't lock us into this limited revenue stream for state and local government.
That would be great. I mean, redoing 13 would just be absolutely great.
They're all scared. They're all scared to death of it. Even the Democrats, when I bring it up, they whiff me off.
I know, sure. But, you know, when we're paying $4.50 a gallon, and it's going to happen again, when we're paying that much, that little 40 cents that's in there as a tax, that isn't going to seem so much. And the $4.50 a gallon, the vast majority of that is profit for the oil executives.
Mm-hmm.
And the people aren't getting anything out of that. So at least if it's $4.50 a gallon and 40 cents of that is a tax, well, at least that 40 cents is going to the people. So I think that's a good thing.
All right, William, thanks. Let's scoot across the bay to Drew in Monterey. Hi, Drew.
Yep. Hi, Peter. You know, the trouble is that 40 cents wouldn't be going back to the people. It'd be going to more government bureaucracy. You know, I just don't see how you can possibly fantasize that by giving these people who have already overspent a budget, you know, families, everyday families, you have a budget, Peter, right? You spend more money than you have, you go into debt. So you have choices on spending money on things you need or spending money on things you don't need.
And we don't need education. We don't need highways. We don't need to support people going to the community colleges or the state university system. That's all just a liberal waste of money, isn't it?
Yeah, Peter, that's exactly what I was saying, that we shouldn't educate our kids. You know, I have a 2.5-year-old girl. She's going to be entering the education system, so don't think for a minute that I don't think about that every single day.
The Republican approach is an all-cuts budget with a huge hit to K-12.
Okay, well.
And that's because they're trying to honor a pledge. They're trying to honor a pledge to Grover Norquist to never, ever, 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 ever raise taxes. And it's bogus, and it now goes to the criminal level, as I pointed out. This, we are 30 days away. We're 30 days away from running out of cash in California. We can't play these games, Drew.
But, Peter, what makes you think that if we give them more money, they're going to spend it wisely this time?
Well,
that's why your guest was saying you got to start on cutting frivolous spending. It's
that's what they, Drew, if they were responsible and they really cared about that, they would have worked on it last year, and they wouldn't have delayed the budget into September when Bill Lockyer had to go out and try to borrow money and the credit markets were frozen. The Republicans have screwed us, Drew, and this is a very serious issue. I'm not just talking politics. I'm not just trying to get even with somebody. As a unit, the Republicans have thumbed their noses at the future of California for short-term political gain and a stupid political philosophy.
Well, I mean, you could call Schwarzenegger a Republican, but I don't know what indicates he's Republican with decisions he's making. But how about this, Peter? You're talking about a big chunk of change. If you want to close the gap, why are we spending money? I would rather the money that goes to illegal alien health care go to my daughter's education.
Okay, but these are false choices at a time like this, and this is why this is why I unloaded on Hector, because you're using that at a time like this to try to distract from the central problem.
But that is part of the central problem, Peter. You keep saying it's a distraction. Every time he finds a way to cut a little money here, cut a little money there, you say that's just a distraction.
Yes, because it doesn't add up to $41 frickin' billion, Drew. It's
a
game they're playing.
Here, you take $2 billion there, Peter, you start getting closer.
Well, but these aren't most of these are not $1 billion expenditures. The aliens in prison cost is a canard that Pete Wilson used in the 90s to fake a balanced budget. Okay?
Yeah. Peter, if you keep saying that these are all distractions, when you keep just passing over.
No, Drew, I'm not. I am saying that at this point in time, they are distractions because they had the opportunity to address them before and they didn't, and bringing them up now is to divert your attention from their criminal failure to pass a budget. I better watch it. I'm going to calm down, and I'll be back tomorrow as the mild-mannered Peter B. Collins. Maybe I'll get some Abilify.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. They got it right this time. Chief Justice John Roberts went to the White House this evening and administered the oath of office for a second time to Barack Obama. Roberts jumbled the words yesterday. They did it again just so there are no questions about whether the president was legitimately sworn in. Mr. Obama joked to reporters in the room that the bad news is there's 12 more inaugural balls. It's been a very busy day at the White House, as CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports.
President Obama describes his first public act as
a clean break from business as usual.
In a highly symbolic move, he's freezing the pay of senior staffers who make more than $100,000 a year.
During this period of economic emergency, families are tightening their belts. And so should Washington.
Another order bans officials who were lobbyists from working on areas they represented in the private sector. The president also promises his administration will be more responsive to freedom of information requests that have often been tangled in red tape.
For a long time now, there's been too much secrecy in the city.
Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
Mr. Obama convened a high-level meeting on Iraq today and asked military leaders to do additional planning if necessary for a responsible withdrawal of U.S. troops. CBS News has confirmed the president will order that the Guantanamo Bay prison be closed within a year. The new Secretary of State was sworn in this afternoon.
Hillary Clinton received overwhelming support from her fellow senators to win confirmation to be Secretary of State. Initially, she was set to be confirmed by voice vote with half a dozen other cabinet nominees right after yesterday's inaugural, but it was delayed by Texas Senator John Cornyn, much to the annoyance of other senators, including South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham.
Let's just get it done. This country needs a Secretary of State. Right now, this minute.
In the end, only two senators voted against Clinton, and Cornyn voted for her. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
When it became clear that Clinton's New York Senate seat would be opening up, Caroline Kennedy launched a campaign for the job, but now, reportedly, she's withdrawn. Tim Grieve is congressional editor at Politico.
There's a lot of supposition about why. There are some reports that she will put out a statement later tonight saying that the health of her uncle, Senator Ted Kennedy, is a factor in her decision.
Ted Kennedy, who's being treated for brain cancer, suffered a seizure during the inaugural luncheon yesterday.